ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ സ്തോത്ര ശതശ്ര ശ്രീമാൻ അഭിചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിഖിലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്കി നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്കി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവീ ഭവീ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തദാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാദസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസേതോന്വയാദിതരദശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൾ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയം തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ദാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവതം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേ എത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുവീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ പാപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിദീർഷദം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ജൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിശൃംഭദാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം നക്കണികാപി കാപികാപി നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമി നിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജ ശംഖചക്രം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമലോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാംബുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം ഭംഗം ലംഘയതീഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വനന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർവേദേ സാംഗപദേ ക്രമൗപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാവശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम गोविंद गोविंद योंद प्रविश्य मम वाचम इमाम्रसुप्तां संजीवयेत् अखिल शक्तिधरस्वधाम्नां अन्यांश हस्तचरण श्रवणां त्वगादीन् प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यं भूदैर्महद्भिरेमा पुरो विभुर्निर्माय शेदेयदमूषु पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडशा षोडशात्मकं सोऽलं कृषीष्ट भगवान् भजांसि मे. The last moments of Krishna and Uddhava in Prabhasam, after Uddhava saw Krishna sitting underneath the peepal tree and Uddhava followed him, and he stayed far away from Krishna, standing there with folded hands, looking at Krishna, what Krishna is going to do next. And at that time, Krishna was in a lotus position, sitting underneath the tree, with a half-closed eyes, as though in meditation. Suddenly, Krishna opened the eyes and asked Uddhava to come closer. And Uddhava says, Krishna told him like this. What did he say? That's the, if you look at the 11th verse, Vedaham andar manasipsidam te dadame yatta duravava manyehi satrepura vishwasrajam vasunam mal siddhigamena vaso tvayashta. That was the first verse he spoke to him. He says to him that, I understand what is going through your mind. Krishna says to Uddhava, right, I will fulfill that desire. You have some desire, and I will give it that to you because the same thing, situation happened before. you have been trying to get back to me when you were a Vasu in your previous life. He was one of the Ashtavasus, 8 Vasus. And you have performed severe penances at that time also. And Uddhava is another incarnation of a Vasu, right? So that's why. So, Esha Sadho Charamo Bhavana Asadidaste Madanagrahoyal Yenmam Nurlogan Reha Ulsrajandam Drishtya Dadrishon Vishadhanu Vrityam. That you have my complete blessings, Krishna says, because in this lifetime, you didn't do anything else except serving me. Krishna says to Uddhava, you didn't do anything else except serving me. And you have satisfied me by your service. Why is that? Because you have come at this moment when I'm going to leave this world, and it is your good fortune that you were able to come here at this point in time, when I am leaving this world. And this wouldn't have happened unless I had given you that desire from inside. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, right? And I know what you need, and I have been waiting for the right opportunity to come to talk about it. He says, Puromaya proktam ajayan abhi. Palme Nishanaya Mamadi Sarge Jnanam Param. Krishna says that Param Jnanam, the highest knowledge, Man Mahimava Bhasam Yels Marayo Bhagavatam Vadandi. That highest knowledge called Bhagavatam, I wanted to give it to you before I leave. This was in my mind all the time. Krishna says to Uddhava, right? Because earlier, long ago, that Lord Brahma, who had come from the navel or the lotus flower and who was situated there, he was also a bit confused in life, what he should do. And at that moment, I gave him Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the form of Chadishlogi Bhagavatam. I gave it to him. And I will repeat that again, but in much more detail. So what Krishna is saying is, that Chadishlogi Bhagavatam given to Brahma, its expansion, expanded form, is the Ekadasha Skandam given to Uddhava. That's what he's saying. that what he has given to Brahma in a four verses as Chatushloki, its expanded form in detail is what is spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam, right? So, but at this moment in time, when in Ekadasham it is spoken in detail, right? But when Chatushloki was spoken, it was summarized to form, and its expanded form is Ekadasham. But in the Chatushloki, it is more like a mantra. The message is like a mantra. Aham eva sameva agri onwards. Tattvajnyasunalpana anvaya vidrega vidrega abhyam yatsyal sarvatra sarvada. It's more like a mantra, right? But Uddhava, when Krishna wanted to give that to Uddhava, Krishna has attracted Uddhava to come back to him. And this has happened because Krishna was prompting from within, from Uddhava. And Tvaya means that it created an urge in Uddhava to go and see Krishna at that moment. And man mahimava bhavam, he says there, isn't it? Jnanam param man mahimava bhasam. Man mahimava bhasam. That, what is this man mahimava bhasam? Man mahimava bhasam means knowledge of Krishna in different levels. For example, what is Krishna? Swarupa jnanam, knowledge of the self. That who is Krishna? Krishna is the very soul of everyone. Antaryami. That is called Swarupa jnanam. Then Krishna's pastimes, to understand what is Krishna's activities are. Lila jnanam. And then again, the process to acquire, get back to Krishna. Sadhana jnanam. The knowledge of sadhana, what one has to perform. And if you look at carefully at Ekadasham, you will find all the three there, spoken. Only thing, you will have to find it out from there. Ekadasha Skandam, you will see these three things are spoken. Swarupa jnanam, lila jnanam, and sadhana jnanam. These three things, right? 14th verse, you see. Ityadra dokta paramasya pumsa padichayana anugraha bhajanoham sneho tharomo skiladacharastam munjan shuja pranjalina babhashem. That in the same way that Lord Brahma has approached me and I have spoken to him Bhagavadam, and every moment he received that mercy from the Bhagavadam, right? Uddhava felt that every moment in his life he has received Krishna's mercy, right? But he said that not out of pride he is saying this. Who? Uddhava, right? When Krishna spoke those verses in the beginning, which one? The Vedaha Mandar Manasi Sridhanti onwards, first two, three verses. Uddhava felt that Krishna has some consideration for him, a special consideration, right? So when Krishna said this, Uddhava was feeling ecstatic that Krishna has accepted him as a devotee. And so he circumambulated and offered obeisances to him.
Konishade pada saroja bhajam sudurlabhorteshu chadurushvapiha tadabhinaham pronomi bhuman bhaval padambhojana nishevanol suga.
He's saying that he got up and circumambulated, offered obeisances and got up, and says to Krishna, if you want something to happen, nothing can stop that happening, right? Even dharmam artham kamam moksham is not a difficult thing. But devotees don't desire any such thing. I am not looking for liberation even, he said. And as far as I am concerned, Uddhava says, there is nothing higher than this what I have got now. I have reached that stage now. Liberation is not important for me, he says. But this atyandigalayam, that means videha kaivalyam or videha mukti, that after leaving this body,
I go back to my spiritual constitution or Sachidananda Brahman, that stage, I'm not desiring that, Uddhava says, right? My attraction is that I just want to be your servant all the time. I want to remain as your servant. This is spoken in Vedantam also, it will come like this, that sometimes some devotees do not like to become Brahman, Sachidananda Brahman. It's not that it's higher or lower, it's just that they like serving Krishna personally, an attraction in that direction. Different people have, spiritual life is like that, it's not that it is all one and there's only one way of doing it. There's many things happens in the spiritual path for different people, different depending upon the way they have developed that relationship with Krishna. For Uddhava, it has always been like this. Krishna is the master, I am the servant, Prabhu. And that relationship, Uddhava finds it difficult to give up. So he is saying, Uddhava is saying, that I am not looking for that Sachidananda Brahman stage. He is not bringing it down. What he is saying is that, this is what I like, to be your servant all the time. And that service I have done throughout my life, it has become my habit now. I cannot give it up, he said. So that is why in Vedantam they will say, Muktva api lilaya vigraham krutva bhajande, they will say. That's the way they will say it. That Muktva api lilaya, that sometimes some devotees, out of their passion for service, vigraham krutva bhajande, they will take a form and they will like to continue the service. Muktva api lilaya vigraham krutva bhajande, that's what they say. So they are already liberated. Any moment they can be Sachidananda Brahman stage. They are already in that state, but they prefer to be like this relationship with Krishna, right? So that is the good fortune of some devotees. And among those devotees, Uddhava is one of the greatest personality who wants a relationship in that way. And He says to Krishna that I don't understand you, he said. Uddhava has always been saying this. I don't understand Krishna. We remember last class what we spoke about. In so many situations he said, I don't understand Krishna. Why he ran away from Mathura to Gokulam and Vrindavanam and kept 12 years away from Kamsa. He could have killed Kamsa on the spot itself. There was no need to run away from there. But he ran away. He told the Vasudeva and Devaki, take me to there and bring Yogamaya here and all that. So we don't understand what's all back happening behind it. What was the thinking behind it? Krishna's plans, right? And then again from Vrindavanam, he came to Mathura and killed Kamsa. And then he said that he's frightened of Jarasandha and runs away from there. So who understands Krishna's pastimes? Nobody understands. Uddhava is saying that. Uddhava says, nobody understands, and if that is a situation with you, with your pastimes, and I don't even know, he says, why you have accepted this form and has come to this world. And has come to this world. Because he has a reason for saying that. Uddhava has a reason for saying that. He's saying that we come here. Why? Because we have karma vasana. Jiva has karma vasana. Karma vasana means desires inside. When desires are there, we have to come back. Fulfill here. These desires, right? And so, but for you, what is there? You don't have karma. You don't have karma vasana either. Why have you come? So he says that once you come here with a form, then you also have to go through all what we are going through here, the miseries of life. In the sense, it doesn't affect them, but for ordinary people it appears as though the incarnations are also have to suffer through here, right? So, and that is not very pleasant to live in this world like us, to live here, he says. So, for our purpose, Krishna is compassionate and kind enough to come here in a form and even tolerates inconveniences here, whatever we are forcing upon him, right? But you are Andaga Andaga. You are there. You are the one. Death personified is frightened of you. But for you, what is in this world? So, but still you come here. And why did you run away from frightened of Jarasandha, from Mathura to Dwaraka? Right? And you are, that Uddhava says, I don't understand that. Why you did that? Then he says that you are always situated in the platform, Sachidananda stage. Satta, Chitta, Anandam. That's your stage. And then you go and marry 16,108 wives. For what? Uddhava is saying this. Atmaramas don't have desires like us. They are free from all desires. But then he goes and marries 16,108 wives. Why? I don't understand, Uddhava says. Right? So, when I think about all these things, I don't understand anything about you, he says to Krishna. Similarly, you are talking to me as though you don't know anything what is going on. You are the person who knows everything, what is going on everywhere in everyone's mind, right? And you are asking me, Uddhava, what do you want from me now, right? So, I cannot say anything about your pastimes, and all I am saying is that higher knowledge, what you have given to Lord Brahma, please give that to me, he said to Krishna, right? So, this is how, this is Uddhava's initiation. Uddhava's initiation it is. Right? So, as a mantra diksha, he gave him Srimad Bhagavatam to him and blessed Uddhava in that way. So, while Bhagavatam was instructed, actually Krishna has pulled Uddhava to come to Prabhasam to see him at that time. And because Krishna was pushing him from inside, Uddhava decided to come there, and after this, Krishna finished this pastime in this world, in this human form, and he has gone back to his abode, right? So, since then, months have gone now, since Krishna left. This is Uddhava saying to Vidura in Vrindavanam. He's saying, months have gone since Krishna has left. And I don't know when he had left, but I left to Krishna and I am on my way to Badrinath, and they were talking about this whole thing with Uddhava's feelings about Krishna. He was expressing everything to Vidura and sharing with Vidura everything what he felt about Krishna. Two great devotees, Vidura and Uddhava, they have no other topic to discuss in this world. There's only one topic, Krishna. So they talked about Krishna throughout the night, and the next morning, Uddhava wanted to leave for Badrinath, right? So, and they were feeling so much ecstatic throughout the night, and then Uddhava said goodbye to him and went to Badrinath. And at that moment, before he left, Vidura says to Uddhava that knowledge what Krishna has given to you, would you mind giving that to me? He said. So basically what he wanted to hear was what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. That I did want to ask Krishna about this, but it couldn't happen. I was away in my pilgrimage, traveling, and so please instruct that to me, he said. And you are not different from Krishna, Vidura says. Krishna has confirmed that before. No dhavo na bhimanyunam, he says. Uddhava and me are not different. And Vidura knows about it. So Vidura says that I know that you are not different from Krishna, in the sense that bhakti is concerned, whatever Krishna has taught to Uddhava, that's all Uddhava has got. And Uddhava is capable of giving that to somebody else, right? You are nowhere, anywhere below than Krishna, Uddhava says. Then Uddhava says to Vidura, that while Krishna was talking to me, Maitreya Maharshi came there. Maitreya Maharshi came there. And Krishna has told Maitreya Maharshi that I have a devotee like Uddhava, another devotee by name Vidura, and he is wandering around in the name of pilgrimage in so many holy places and temples and rivers and places like that. He is wandering around. He will come to you one day, and you should speak the same thing what I am telling you to him as well, he said. So basically, Krishna has authorized Maitreya Maharshi to give Srimad Bhagavatam to Vidura. That's already been done. And Maitreya Maharshi is there in Haridwar. Please go and take shelter. And in that saying, this Uddhava left. Uddhava didn't wait anymore after that. So after Uddhava has left, Vidura was thinking about Krishna. He thought that Krishna is so kind to him. Then even before he left this world, he thought about him. This is how a devotee feels, that Krishna has not forgotten me. This is what a devotee wants from Krishna. Krishna hasn't forgotten me. He remembers me still. And even while leaving, he has arranged this for me to go and see Maitreya Maharshi. Naturally, this has inspired Vidura very much by hearing these words from Uddhava, and he decided to go to Haridwar. And when he heard that, Vidura was crying. Tears were coming from his eyes. And he understood that Antaryami, inside Krishna, knows everything, what is going through everyone's life. And Krishna was so considerate that Uddhava wants to have, Vidura must have a great personality as his guru, Maitreya Maharshi. So he sent him to, and even that Krishna has arranged before he left. So, in this way, as a last thing, Vidura goes to Haridwar. At that moment, one interesting question came from Parikshit, which is very good, what he has asked there. Parikshit is saying that all the Yadavas got killed, right? Krishna also gave up his form and left this world, gone back to his abode. How come Uddhava survived all this? All the Yadavas died in the fighting. They all fought and killed each other. But Uddhava survived, right? What was the reason for that? Because you have to remember that all these things have happened by the curse of the Brahmana. Brahmanas cursed them, isn't it? The Yadavas were cursed, including Krishna was cursed. Including Krishna was cursed by the rishis, that you Yadavas will fight and kill each other and you will all go from here. So how come Uddhava, it didn't affect Uddhava? This is one question he has asked him, right? So what about Krishna then? Did the curse affect Krishna? It did affect Krishna also. What is that? To a little extent, not to a big scale, right? In order to make sure that the words of that curse of the rishis to come true, that is why that Jara the hunter had to shoot the arrow to kill Krishna that way, to destroy Krishna that way, which came and hit his lotus feet and got a mark on that, due to that, right? So, but Uddhava, nothing happened. Krishna had to go through, but Uddhava didn't. So he's saying here, what was the reason? Because Krishna thought, once I leave this place, right, this world is going to be in darkness. Because you can see that Kali Yugam will enter. Kali enters means our state of consciousness will be very bad. We lose our intelligence. We can't even think anymore properly. The power to analyze things and to see that spiritual vision, we lose that. We lose the spiritual vision. Everything completely identifying with the body and trying to find happiness through the body and living in this world in that way. So that means darkness, tamogunam, rajogunam, tamogunam has become very strong, powerful. So, and knowledge depends on Krishna. Dharma jnana adibhi saha kalau nashtadrishamesha puranarkodhinodida. Remember, first canto, first chapter, last words. Krishna sutamo bhagade dharma jnana adibhi saha dharmam jnanam. These two things are dependent on Krishna. It is dependent on Krishna. When Krishna wants that, it will stay in this world. Otherwise, this knowledge won't be there. We won't be able to destroy the knowledge. It is in Krishna's control, not in our control. We get concerned about it. Oh, what will happen? This Vedic knowledge will go, Vedic traditions will go. No, it is coming from Krishna. It's the other way. When Krishna wants it, it will be there in this world. And when Krishna wants it, it will disappear also in the same way. So, knowledge is dependent on Krishna. And if I go away, then where will knowledge be there, right? So, at that moment, Krishna decided that before this world goes into ignorance, he found a way that how knowledge should stay, remain in this world. And therefore, he said that the only person who will understand what I am saying, Krishna says, the only person who can understand what I am saying is Uddhava. You see? So, Krishna did not give this knowledge to anyone and everyone. Fully analyzing everybody, he decided that the only person who is qualified to have this knowledge, what is given in the Ekadasha Skandam, is Uddhava. That's the verse you will find there mentioned. That's verse 31. Noddhavo nabhimanyunam yad gunair nardhida prabhu ado madvainam logam grahayan nivatishtadu. Very clearly Krishna says, the only person who will understand Ekadasha Skandam is Uddhava. No Uddhavo nabhimanyunam. Uddhava is not different from me, Krishna is saying. Why? Yad gunair ardhida prabhu. That he has got all the qualities required for acquiring this knowledge. Ado madvainam lokam grahayan nivatishtato. He can accommodate, understand this, what I am saying. And therefore, he is the one I am going to give this to him. And in this way, that was the reason why Uddhava was not touched by the curse of the Brahmanas, by the Rishis. Uddhava was the only person who was not affected by the curse from the Rishis. Vishwamitra and Durvasava and many others who cursed. Even Krishna had to take a little bit of it. Because Krishna has to make sure that it happens. When the Rishi says something, Krishna feels that he has to make that happen. That's the relationship between Krishna and the Rishis, right? So, that is why Uddhava was freed from all. Otherwise, Uddhava should have been got into trouble with other Yadavas, right? Uddhava remained like that, and then Uddhava goes to Badrinath, and Vidura goes to Haridwar to see Maitreya Maharshi. And after this, what you find is from the next chapter, conversation between Vidura and Maitreya begins in the next chapter. Vidura Maitreya Samvadam. That's what you find in the next chapter. So, first verse is, you'll see there in the fifth chapter. Shri Rajarya Swamiji says there, Panjame Bhagavad Leela Kshatra Prashto Mahamuni Provacha Mahadadinam Sargam Taisha Hare Studim. Maitreya Maharshi, having asked by Vidura, he wanted to know about creation, the cause behind it, Mahatattvam Ahangaram, how they were created, and how come those things which could not come together, Mahatattvam Ahangaram, all of them, how they came together and how they glorified, all that is spoken in this fifth chapter. You will find a special prayers from the material elements coming together and working together. Material elements, all of them. So, before that, Vidura and Maitreya having a conversation. Vidura arrived in Haridwar and Maitreya Maharshi received him, and Vidura had tremendous respect for Maitreya Maharshi. Having Maitreya Maharshi has heard from Krishna like Uddhava. And also, when he arrived there, Maitreya Maharshi asked Vidura, if you have any doubts, you can ask me now. I will give you the answer, right? According to my capacity, I will answer, he said. About Maitreya Maharshi, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi says, Maitreyam Asinam Aghada Bodham. See that one line. second line in the first verse. Maitreyam asinam agadha bodham. Agadha bodham means one who has gone very deep inside, who can think about things in a much deeper level. We cannot think a deeper level. We have lost that capacity to think like that. Mainly because of rajogunam tamogunam in us. And you can see simple things when spoken, even sometimes people take it very difficult. It's not clicking for them. Why it's not clicking? Because of rajogunam tamogunam in us. Maitreyam asinam agadha bodham, it says. There are so many things to talk about here. Upanishads and Vedam talk about extreme subtle things about our world, why we are here, what we are doing, things like that. Most of the people read them from Puranams or from mainly majority of the people in Kali Yuga take to Puranam more than anything else. So they read Puranam and they hear about something, what's happening in some other place, in some other world. But in their own mind, they are having doubts about it. Is all this world exist? So many different worlds are spoken in the Puranam, isn't it? Gandharva Logam, Brahma Logam, Surga Logam, and similarly Pitru Logam, and then Padala Logam, so many other Logam, so many Logam is spoken. So even though we read all these things in Puranam, we are not able to make any connection with it within ourselves. Basically because we have become so conditioned by the rajogunam and tamogunam in us. That's the reason behind that. To explain that better, that how did the rishis get to know all these things? That's the first question we have to ask. They are writing with full confidence about so many things in the Vedam. So many things spoken in the Vedam about which we have no relationship. We are not able to understand anything what is spoken there. Right? How did Rishi's mind work? There are many examples to prove that it is our weakness it is. That we are not able to think like them. Our way of thought is not going like the way they are thinking about. We get carried away by silly things in this world. It affects us so much. And then we think that, oh, I'm very intelligent, I can question things. The Vedam talks about different deities worship. Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Agni, and so on and so forth, so many things worship. Then in Puranams we have Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Krishna, Rama, Govinda, all different forms in the Puranams also. So this worship of different forms in the Vedam as well as in the Puranam, what we have now, has all been instituted by the rishis with a different understanding of things. And if you have to get to know that, you do need to think about it a little bit more and hear from people who have a depth of understanding of these things. Yeah. Similarly, we talked about different logam, hellish planets, right? Now, hellish planets, do they exist? That question comes, especially the last chapter in the fifth canto. Yeah? Last chapter in the fifth canto. Naturally, people feel that the things what is spoken in these hellish planets is frightening, isn't it? And do they all exist? This question will come. Yeah? This will come. And to add a little bit problem for us, in two places in the Bhagavadam, it's questioned also. Kapilopadesham, if you study, you will find there, Atraiva Narakaswargam Iti Madha Prajakshade, it says. That, my dear mother, Kapilamarshi says to Devahuti, my dear mother, this heaven and hell is here itself in this world. So if you are reading Srimad Bhagavadam, you will start thinking, so is this real then, these hellish planets? Is it not? We'll all think like that. A lot of people think, because hellish planets, the way it's spoken there, frying in the oil, and then with the trident poking on you, and so many things, different in a very graphic description is given about the hellish planets. Yeah? There is another verse at the end of 12th canto. You can see that also. That's another verse that has created a problem. That is in the, if you look at the third chapter in the 12th canto. At the end, Sugabrahmarshi says, all I have spoken in detail, katha imaste katidha mahiyasam, vidaya lokeshu yashapare yusham, vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho, vajo vibhodir naduparamarthyam. He's saying there that all I have spoken a lot of things in this Bhagavadam in order to create vijnanam and vairagyam in you. Only for that purpose. These things are spoken, but it need not necessarily true all. He himself says this. Oh, Sukabramarshi. So, if you take this one verse, and if you take the verse from the Kapilopadesham, where Kapilamarshi says to Devahuti Devi, Atraiva Naraka Sargam Idimada Prajakshade, and this verse, Katha Imaste Kathida Mahiyasam, Vidaya Logayushi Asha Parayusham, Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho, Vajo Vibhodir Nadu Paramarthyam. If you look at these two verses, naturally you are thinking, is this all true then? What these hellish planets are, and the punishment, what is going to be meted out in the hellish planets. People will think, because at this moment in time, we have no way of finding it out. Nobody has come back and told us that this is how that hellish planets are. Completely you are dependent on the Shastram, isn't it? What is spoken in the Bhagavatam. That's the only thing you have. Nobody will go, has gone and came back and told us any time that it is like this. In fact, as soon as you leave this body here, everything changes. Everything changes. While living here, we are identifying with the body. While living here, we are identifying with the body. But as soon as this gross body drops, then you are in your subtle form. Only the vasanas, consciousness, and pranan, senses, they are with you. In your subtle form, they are with you. And you are in your next, move to the next, next body or next state, whatever it is. Yeah. So, the Rishi's argument on all these things, you have to look at that also. You see, in this world, for example, how they have understood these things. It's a completely different way, not the way we think about it. Say, for example, in this world, we all know that justice is important. That if you do something wrong, you should be punished. Everybody accepts that, isn't it? Someone who has done something seriously, big crime, he should be punished, right? So, if a man has killed one person, or say five people, and another person has committed a genocide and killed thousands of people, right? How will you punish them? One who has killed five people and one who has killed, say, 500,000 people, how will you punish them? Because even if you give them the maximum punishment, either you can hang both of them, but then that is also not fair. This man has killed only five people. Another one has killed 5 million people or 500,000 people. So to give the same punishment to both means it's not equal. Isn't it? It's not right. Even look at it the other way. That if you think that the punishment you can give to anyone is based on this body, maximum you can kill this body and finish it up. Or if you send him to the jail, you can put him in the jail only till he lasts in this body, till he is there in the body. So even when you want to punish them, you don't have the capacity to do it because that person's life is limited. Do you see the point? That because the punishment for two different crimes, one has committed horrible crimes, thousands and thousands of people were killed, like what they call genocide these days. Through his power, he managed to kill a lot of people. Should he get the same punishment as one who has killed a couple of people or five people or something? Actually, it has to be different, is it not? Because depending on their weight of the crime they have done, this man requires a heavier punishment. But you have no way of punishing him in this world with all your legal system to the extent he should be punished based on the justice. This is where rishis found out that there has to be a system working where after death that person has to go through, and that is how all the other worlds have come. This is not discussed in Bhagavadam. It is in the Brahma Sutram Bhashya. You will require, you will read it there. You will find. Everything is discussed there. Rishis are not lacking in power of thinking. They understood that if somebody has committed crime here, especially heavy crimes, how is he going to escape from that? How can he escape from that? So there is only one option left. That means even after leaving this body, the karmam he has done will follow him. Which means there has to have another space where he has to be taken care of, properly punished. And that is how this whole thing, their thoughts are gone in that direction. And this is how Paralokam has come. All the heavenly planets, hellish planets, and Brahmalokam, Pitralokam, all these things are that world beyond our perception, beyond our present understanding, where decisions are made on a higher level. Nothing you can escape from. Karmam you can't escape. Whatever we have done, it will follow us. If we are suffering today here because of our past actions, it is more or less certain that what we have done now will have to follow us. There is no question of running away from that. We are identifying with the body, and in this body a certain amount of misery and certain amount of happiness is already destined, and that we are getting it. But Brahma Sutram, Vedavyasa Maharshi explains these things. It is Vedavyasa Maharshi who goes into detail all these things. That how you go into, after leaving this body, what happens to Jiva, the so-called, what we call as ourselves as me. Today I am calling me as this body. But tomorrow when I lost this body, still me is existing in some form as Jiva. And Jiva has to face all this music, what he has conducted here. So it is, that is how their thinking is. They are saying to us, rishis are saying, Vedavyasa Maharshi is also saying, and if you look the commentaries on Brahma Sutram and all, you will find there that this one point, chapter after chapter discussed, what happens in the after leaving the body. It is more important for them. And they are not saying that this death is such a big thing. They don't take it like that. Rishis and all, they don't take death as a very serious thing. It is another passing phase in our life. Nothing more than that. But about this world, you can see that when he asked this question, Maitreya Maharshi says to him, he started asking this question, and the straight away Vidura's question was, very well-known question in the Bhagavadam. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sukham va danyaduparamam va vindeda bhuyastadam eva dukham yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadena. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sukham va danyaduparamam va vindeda bhuyastadam eva dukham yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadena. We have talked about this before also, that all of us are working in this world to become happy. Happiness is all what we want, right? But sukham, that's the only mantra everybody has in their mind. And they are working very hard for that, but it never seems to happen that way. After working whole life, when you were young, you were thinking that, oh, you will retire and you will live happily and things like that. But it didn't happen. Some or the other, it's not happening what it is, right? And at the same time, what they find is that even though distress, nobody wants it, it's coming uninvited. It's still coming, right? So, so the intention is to get permanent happiness and permanent relief from distress. Permanent happiness and permanent relief from distress. And we are, all human beings are working very hard for that. So Vidura's question is, why is that not happening to people? People are working for that whole life, but it's not happening. So Maitreya Maharshi's answer is very important. He's saying here, it is true, Vidura, everybody wants happiness. Nobody wants distress, right? The mistake is that they are all thinking happiness is coming from outside. That is where the mistake is.
Janasya Krishnal Vimukasya Deival Atharma Shilasasu Dukhidasya Anugrihayaha Charandi Nunam Bhudani Bhavyani Janardanasya.
He says the mistake they are making is that they have all got into this misunderstanding that the happiness is always coming from outside sources, external sources, but and permanent happiness they will get it from outside, and that is their mistake. First of all, everything outside is temporary. Everything outside is temporary. Nashwaram. They are called in Vedantam Kshaniga Pratibhasam. Kshaniga Pratibhasam means momentarily manifesting. It is there. And Vidura, Maitreya Maharshi is saying to Vidura, how can anyone get permanent happiness from a temporary thing? How is that possible? He is asking. And nobody is analyzing this. How can I get permanent happiness from a temporary thing? Everything we are looking for happiness in this world are temporary. Outside things, outside us. And they are not going to stay there. They will go. And I am still thinking that I will get happiness from that. And I am working whole life for getting happiness from there. So, and they are saying that in order to get that happiness, they are working very hard, and they think that there is no other way of getting that happiness. Basically, they are only seeing sense objects in life, but they are not able to see Antaryami inside, who brings these sense objects in front of you and make you experience them. That they are not able to see. So this is the Maitreya Maharshi's first answer. He's saying to Vidura, Vidura, the problem is they are running after sense objects. But these sense objects are present only because Antaryami inside is presenting them, giving them the experience of the sense objects. If Antaryami don't give your experience to the sense objects, you won't be running after them. But because Antaryami is doing that, Krishna inside as Antaryami is doing that, everybody is running after these sense objects, right? And they have all the knowledge of the sense objects, but they have no knowledge of the Antaryami. Knowledge of the Antaryami. So, in that situation, they are under the illusion that they will get happiness from these sense objects. And in that illusion, they are running after them whole life, right? And due to that, they may get some temporary, momentary happiness from that, but ultimately, they all give them a lot of distress and they go at the end. And this one understanding, they are not getting it, he says. Maitreya Maharshi is laughing at it, seeing the people's state of inability to think properly. If this message was given properly, and if people have understood that, this running will stop. But running won't stop otherwise. As long as we are thinking that the happiness is from outside, from other objects, not knowing that those objects are experienced inside due to the presence of Antaryami inside. And running after sense objects will not stop otherwise. So, that's what he is saying here. And when they lose those sense objects, they feel tremendous pain inside. Then he says there that one who has to go to eastern directions, suppose he keep going into the western direction, what will happen? He will never reach the goal. He has to go to in the eastern way, eastern direction, to the spot where he wants to be, to the place where he wants to get to. But instead, if he keeps going to the west, what will happen to him? So that means he does not know his way to go, and he does not ask this question to people who knows about it. He doesn't ask them. And if he keep on going in the wrong direction, never he will get there. How will he get happiness, he is asking. Maitreya Maharshi is saying there, right? So, these people, he says, they have already decided that permanent happiness will come from these temporary objects. This is a precondition they have made up their mind in that way. Already in their mind they have felt, they have that's the condition they have set up. That I will get happiness from outside. In that way they are going, running after the sense objects, right? So, but he says, Maitreya Maharshi says, that from temporary objects, how can you get permanent happiness? Right? Things that will get destroyed one day. How will you get permanent happiness from there? And this one thing, if you sit peacefully and think about it, it all makes sense. It's very logical. It makes sense. That from temporary things, I can't get permanent happiness. It's obvious. Because those things will go one day, right? And anybody can understand. This doesn't require any, it's not a big science or anything, rocket science, right? So you don't require much intelligence for that. But Maitreya Maharshi says, even great personalities in this world, so-called great personalities, even they are not convinced on this. That is called Maya. And this is how Maitreya Maharshi introduced Maya to Vidura. Vidura, if you want to understand Maya, analyze this, he said. That happiness will never come from outside permanently. It's not possible. Permanent, because all the rishis, Krishna himself has spoken in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, Ramachandra has spoken, Lord Shiva has spoken, everybody has spoken. Happiness is inside. Because Krishna inside is Antaryami, that's the only place where there is real happiness. But we are not able to accept it. We run after sense objects, which are so temporary, they may stay for some time in our life. While this body is there, you may be able to have some relationship with them. But after some time, this will all be broken. Whole connection is broken and gone. And still you are running after them. And anyone with little bit of intelligence can analyze this in a peaceful way at home. And it's not very difficult to understand. It's such an easy thing to say. But even though it is so simple, even the most intelligent people in this world have become victimized by that. They are not able to live by that. Why? Maya. That is what's called Maya. So, Maitreya Maharshi was stunned when Vidura was stunned when he heard this from Maitreya Maharshi. He's saying here that, so, the main thing he said, this simple truth, if it has to become convinced for someone, right, it is not good enough. It is just becoming a thought. But it has to become accepted inside by the buddhi. And in that buddhi, when there is sattvagunam, only then you will be able to accept it. Till you have sattvagunam in your buddhi, you will keep running after this. It will not stop. Now, weak people saying that, oh, I understand, but I'm not able to follow it through in life. This is the reason for that. Remember what Krishna said in the 13th chapter also, in the 11th canto. Sattvam rajastamayidi gunam buddhirna chatmana sattvena anyatamohanyal sattvam sattvena chayvahi. When there is no sattvagunam in the buddhi, whatever spiritual knowledge you give to anyone, it won't have any effect on that person. It will go on the head like that. It will not get in. And that is why most of the time our problem is this, that sattvagunam is not there in the buddhi, and therefore we have problems. All this knowledge in the Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita and all remains aloof from us. And we, with our rajasic and tamasic mind, starts interpreting Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, and we get confused about it. We think that we have got something better to say what Krishna has spoken. Or we get confused ourselves, and we confuse everybody else as well in that process. So what he is saying here, first of all, sattvagunam, sattviya buddhi is required, right? And when there is rajogunam in us, suppose our intelligence is filled with rajogunam, what will happen is that you will start thinking that I will get happiness from these temporary things. That is due to rajogunam. From temporary objects, we will get happiness. This conviction comes to us from rajogunam. You can speak any Vedantam you like, But what Krishna is saying here is that ahamit anyadha buddhi pramattasya yadahadi ul sarpadi rajo gauram tato vaigarigam mana. He's saying, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, because Uddhava asked that question. Uddhava also asked the same question what Vidura asked to Maitreya. Uddhava's question was, vidandi martya prayena vishayan padama abadam tadavi bunjade Krishna tal katham shokharajaval. Right? The same question. What Vidura is asking Maitreya? Same thing Uddhava is asking Krishna. He says to Krishna, vidandi martya prayena, people are attracted by sense enjoyment. Right? Tathavi bunjade Krishna, they are like shuava, kharam, ajam. Dogs and camels and goats. Yeah. Why they are considered? Intelligence is like that. Our intelligence. Why is that? When you are taking to kill the goat, or when you are trying to kill the, to slaughter, to the animals, to the abattoir, you are taking them. The goat will be looking everywhere. Is there some grass to eat? That's how goats are. Anything, whatever they can get to eat, they'll go and see if they can get to eat. We are also like that. That we are ready to be slaughtered by the laws of nature, but still looking for some happiness in this world. That's what he's saying here. Vidandi martya prayena vishayan padam abadam. That tadhabi bunjade Krishna tal kadam shukharajaval. Yeah. It is at that time Krishna said to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is not their fault, because there is rajogunam in their brain. The intelligence is completely, buddhi is completely influenced by the rajogunam. And that is the same thing here also. So what Vidura asked to Maitreya, what Uddhava asked to Krishna is exactly the same thing. And the answer is also exactly the same. That because there is no satogunam in the buddhi, then he is not able to understand that this, he is not able to accept it still. And therefore, buddhi runs after the temporary things to make it happier, and thinking that there will be some happiness I will get out of it. And they continue doing that, right? So, to think that permanent happiness will come from sense objects is due to the rajogunam, right? So, once this rajogunam in the buddhi goes away, and sattogunam takes over, then this will be convinced. Till that time, you won't be able to give up. You will continue doing what you are doing till you see spiritual message from the rishis is such that till you have experienced it, you won't be able to appreciate it. A day will come in life, we will also experience it, that it all makes sense. Only thing is, by the time it is too late in life, that's the only problem. That all these things, what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, at this moment we will think that, oh, I have this responsibility, that responsibility, and I'll be running after so many other things, making arrangements and plans and doing this or that. Whatever it may be, that to get conviction this way, that permanent happiness I will not get from the sense objects, to get that conviction very strongly inside, it takes a long time. That's what he's saying here. And that has to be understood, he says, that if you want permanent happiness, if you want freedom from misery, then this is the only option. So, because only from permanent thing you will get permanent happiness. That's the principle. And the only permanent thing is the self, Antaryami inside. That's the only permanent thing, right? So, Shashvata Vastu, permanent thing is Krishna, the Antaryami inside. And he is present in everyone as their very self, as Antaryami. And permanent happiness will only come from there. And the mind, which is running after the temporary sense objects, has to turn away from them and turn inwards towards him, and get established in the self, right? So, in that way, because that vastu, Antaryami inside, is permanent and is full of bliss. Sata Chitta Anandam, the full of bliss. If our mind get established there, and then permanent happiness you will experience at that time, and you will feel satisfied. That is how he said that. So, from now on, Maitreya Maharshi says to Vidura that let me talk to you about Sargam and Visargam, the two pastimes of Krishna. Leela, it is pastime. Leela means creation is also Krishna's pastime, it is. Sargam and Visargam, right? And the purpose of talking about creation, primary creation and secondary creation, Sargam and Visargam. The main purpose of this is that to convince Vidura that all this creation itself is false. It is temporary and it is false, right? Permanent thing, there is only Krishna here. Only reality is Krishna. And to convince Vidura for that purpose, this third canto and the fourth canto was spoken, right? So, people who are living in this world, like us, who are always in suffering and distress, and who are experiencing the miseries of material existence, samsara, to relieve them from that and make them realize this truth, to make us realize this truth. The great personalities have spoken these things in the Bhagavatam. Therefore, he says to him, that you will see there in the fourth verse, Tal sadhu vairyadisha vartashamma samradhido bhagavan yena pumsam hridisthito yachadi bhakti pute jnanam sasatvadi gamam puranam. Tal sadhu vairyadisha vartashamma samradhido bhagavan yena pumsam hridisthito yachadi bhakti pute jnanam chasatva jnanam satatvadi gamam puranam. So, Vidura says that, Maitreya Maharshi, that please instruct me on this knowledge of the Self. Give me that knowledge which will give me a permanent happiness, permanent shanti. What should I do by which that Krishna will be pleased with me by bhakti? And he will reveal to me the knowledge of the Self from within. What do I have to do? And what is the way to please him? Right? And this bhakti will develop in the heart. And with that purity of the bhakti, heart will become purified. And in that heart, Krishna, who has spoken as a Veda Pradibhadyam, Adi, Anadi, Atma Tattva Bodham, Atma Tattvam, will manifest in the heart, he says. And he said, what kind of bhakti I have to practice that the Antaryami inside will be pleased with me and give me that experience of the Self. Krishna will reveal himself to me from inside, right? So that is his few questions he's saying there. How to get that bhakti in the heart? How to develop that bhakti? And through that bhakti, heart gets purified. And what is the process of worshipping Krishna and develop that firm bhakti and completely get purified by that. And and Krishna gets pleased with us, and by Krishna's mercy, that the self-realization, what is spoken in the Upanishads, will become a reality, says Vidura to Maitreya. So, can you instruct me on that? He said. See, this, why Vidura asked like that is, there are different processes, isn't it? There are different processes, right? And what do I have to do so that I develop firm bhakti, dhrita bhakti in the heart, and through that it develops into prema bhakti, pure bhakti, and that will purify my heart. And once I am purified, which means that sattvagunam is created inside, plenty of sattvagunam inside, and that will please Krishna inside the heart, Antaryami. Krishna pleased, and due to that self-realization happens and one gets satisfied. That's what he's asking. And that process, can you explain that to me, please? And Krishna is Sarvatantra Svatantram. That means nothing controls, Krishna is controlled by anything. Krishna is not controlled by anything. He is beyond the three modes of material nature, and he is controlling everyone within the heart based on their vasanas and karma. Right? And in order to help these conditioned souls, he has accepted different forms at different times and came to this world. And can you explain that all to me? And how come Krishna is able to maintain this whole setup like this, this creation, right? All kinds of living entities, they come here in different bodies, and Krishna is maintaining them all here. They all get their food, they all get to eat, and they live here. Can you explain that to me, the whole science behind it, how it works, right? So that's what he's asking.
Karyodi karmani kritavadaram, yani alpatandro bhagavam stradisha, yadha sasarjagra idam niriha, samsthapya vrittim jagato vidhate.
So, normally, Krishna doesn't do anything for himself. He doesn't need to do anything for himself, right? Therefore, he is called nishkriya. He doesn't do anything. Nispriha. He has no desire for anything, right? And he doesn't want anything. And on his own, he is always happy. On his own, he is always happy. So, Rubani Bhuti, that means with his realized state, he is present, right? So, therefore, he will never do anything for selfish reasons, like we do. For selfishly, he has no selfish interest in anything. There is no selfish interest, right? But at the same time, he is feeling compassion for the jivas who are in this state. And in order to help them, Krishna takes the, he uses yoga maya. He uses the yoga maya. And with the help of yoga maya, with the support of yoga maya, at different times, he takes different forms. That's called avatara. Avatara means, with the support of yoga maya, Krishna comes here and different avataram comes. Now, this is interesting. Yoga maya and Mahamaya, we have to understand properly. You see, we say avidya. Isn't it? Kundi Devi started this. Avidya kama karma bhi. Remember? Avidya kama karma bhi, she said. Bhavesmin klishyamananam. Avidya kama karma bhi. Shravana smarana arhani karishya nirigejana. So, it's a well-established fact in the Bhagavatam that avidya is the cause of bondage. We are bound because of avidya. Inside us, avidya. Now, avidya is maya. Mahamaya, that is. That means it makes us identify with the body. It makes us identify with the body. So, due to that bodily identification, which has happened due to the presence of maya in us, that our intelligence is affected by that, and due to that, how Antaryami has gone into buddhi, ahankaram, and mind everywhere, and it has influenced us to identify with this body. Ahankaram is the last stage in the four of the subtle body. Ahankaram is the one which is affected very badly, and the moment ahankaram happens, when Antaryami enters into ahankaram, immediately, vyaktitva abhimanam, that means personality becomes, we become a personality. That's when we become a personality, right? We become a personality. From then on, suffering. Because till this personality leaves us, we will be going through suffering all the time. The proof is deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, there is no personality, and therefore there is no suffering. That's the proof. That personality is the whole problem. As soon as you, most of the people in this world think, oh, if I lose my person, you're losing it every day anyhow. What's there so much to talk about it? People say, oh, I can't lose my personality. And we blame so many people for that, saying that, oh, you lose your personality. But you're losing it anyway every day. So what is the big deal about it? So what it is teaching us is, when you lose your personality, that is when you're free from the problems of identity, due to identification. False identification with the body, then you say, oh, we've got a spiritual identity and all that. That's another thing. But anywhere you have an identification, there is this problem will come. So, with the help of yoga maya, Krishna, yoga maya means vidya maya, vidya. So, from Vidya Maya's help, we get release from this Avidya Maya. Vidya Maya's help. But Vidya Maya is also Maya. Remember that. Vidya Maya is also Maya. And that is the reason, if you look into the 11th canto, in one verse Krishna spoke that, but nobody will catch it straight away. Bandho mukta iti vyakhyo, gunado mena vastuda, gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. Krishna is saying, this thing called bondage and liberation is not real. Why is he saying like that? Because one is vidya maya, other one is avidya maya. Moksham is vidya maya, and bandhanam is avidya maya. Therefore, neither moksham nor bondage is real. This is Krishna's point. But unfortunately, right now, we are in bondage. We feel we are in bondage. We have no identity, bodily identity. So, getting out of bodily identity is important. And if you, that one verse alone speaks a lot about Vidya Maya and Avidya Maya. That Vidya Maya, we think we have become free from that. No, Vidya Maya is also Maya. So, Vidya Maya means that you feel that you have been liberated. No, there is no such thing as bondage and liberation. Krishna is saying there. There is no such thing called bondage and liberation. All it is due to these three modes of nature. Gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Moksham, bandham and all is based on this maya. It's based on maya. Once maya withdraws, then there is no bondage, there is no liberation either. That's what it is. So, here he is saying here that Krishna doesn't have to do anything for himself because he is not controlled by any of these things. But in spite of that, with the help of Yoga Maya, at different times he comes in different forms, which is called incarnations, and he give mercy to this world. And those incarnations of Krishna, which has happened in the past, which is happening right now, which is going to happen in the future, explain that to me in detail. Maitreya Maharshi has been asked by Vidura, right? So, and at the same time, how this creation has come into existence in this way. And in this creation, different types of living entities are coming here. And how did Krishna set it up like this? That different living entities get different types of food they eat. That's interesting, isn't it? We have certain types of food. Animals have certain types of food. Birds are another type of food. But everybody gets fed. It's interesting. All kinds of living entities with all different types of food, and they're all getting fed every day. How does this work? He says. And can you explain that to me? He says. So, and in this way, he has engaged everybody, all the jivas here, and gave them some livelihood. Make them to work during the day to get their food. And working for that food and getting the food and eating that food and getting satisfied with that, and they are living like this. How did he develop this system? Vidura wants to know from Maitreya Maharshi, right? And similarly, at different times, he decides these jivas has to leave their body and go from here. How does this calculation whole thing work? So many jivas come here and they have a certain time, amount of time, allotted time they spend here. And during their life here, they are being given certain livelihood. They get their desires fulfilled, particularly in respect to eating, sleeping and all that. And then when that is all fulfilled, they go from here. This whole setup looks amazing, Vidura says. And how did Krishna manage all these things, right? And finally, when everything is over, whole thing goes back to him, and all the jivas goes in their most subtle form, goes back to him, right? So I would like to hear this creation of this manifested world, how it's being maintained and how it's all eventually pulled back into him. And while going all these things, he is aloof from everything and he is satisfied within himself, and he is situated in that way. and instruct me on that. That's why you see the sixth verse. Yadha puna swakhaidam niveshya shede guhayam sanivurta vrti yogeshwara dhishwara megameda anupravishto bahudha yadha sel.
That same one Ishwara who is based on the depending on these three modes, satogunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, and depending on them, how he takes these different forms as Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, all these different forms, how does he accept that? And in order to hear these gunavadaram, different, because they are based on the gunam, satogunam, Vishnu, rajogunam, Brahma, tamogunam, Shiva, in that way. And Vidra wants to understand that how does that work, that system, right? Then he says certain other interesting things. He says, in Mahabharatam, Vidra says that Vedavyasa Maharshi spoke about a lot of things which are meant for fulfilling your desires. Yeah? For fulfilling your desires. Kamya Karma. That's the way Mahabharatam is presented. It's not like Bhagavatam, Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam, if you read, you will find that a lot of things are fulfilling your desires in this world. Kamya Karma, right? And I read, after reading through Mahabharatam, Vidura says that I'm not very happy about that, because can you imagine, he said, that creating desires in people's heart and telling them that you can fulfill these desires by doing these things, right? And and I heard a lot of that in the Mahabharatam, he says. And I had enough of that. Now I don't want to hear that anymore. That kind of presentation, what has been spoken in the Mahabharatam. I'm interested about Krishna's pastimes, and hearing about Krishna, one doesn't get fed up, because they are always new. It is a different dimension altogether. What he's saying there, you see, Katrupniya Tirthamado Bidhanal, 11th verse. Satreshuva Suribi Idhyamanal, Ya Karna Nadim, Purushasya Yato, Bhava Pradam Geharadim Chinati. Ya Karna Nadim, Purushasya Yato, Bhava Pradam Geharadim Chinati. Who can get fed up hearing about Bhagavad from Krishna, about Krishna, right? Nobody will feel, I had enough of hearing about Krishna, right? Because personalities like you, Vidura says to Maitreya Maharshi, right? When people like you start talking about Krishna, it's a different world altogether. Because you know Krishna properly, and you can speak about him properly. And when people like you speak about him, you will never get satisfied. You want to hear more. So, and people like you also, after speaking about Krishna, you are never satisfied. You want to continue talking about it. Devotees also, in the same way, never satisfied by hearing about him. Because those things, what you speak about Krishna, that goes through Karna Nadi. That's a nerve, what is connected from the ear to the heart, straight away. Normally it is locked, closed. That is closed normally. This is based on Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. Karna Nadi, it's called. It is blocked normally, right? And once that opens up, that Karna Nadi opens up by hearing about Krishna, once that is opened, it goes inside, and then it will destroy all that desire for sense gratification in the heart. What we have as vasana in the chittam. We have vasanas in the chittam, that chitta vasana, which is creating problem for us, that will be destroyed due to the power of bhakti rasanubhuti that comes from that. It completely destroys that desire for sense gratification, and with that purification, Krishna's instructions, Krishna's pastimes, basically what he's talking about, stuti, katha stuti and upadesham in the Bhagavatam, right? And talking about these things, Mahalpas like you never get satisfied, right? And
And this is possible for people to understand this who had taken Salsangam very seriously. If you have taken Salsangam seriously, and even if you may not have got everything, but if you have understood something from the Salsangam, that there is something in the Bhagavatam which is we do need in life. And if you have come to understand it that way, then you will never give it up. This is what that point is pointing at, right? Ya karna nadim purushasya yato bhava pradam geharadim chinati. What he is saying is that after listening to Bhagavatam for some period of time, if you have developed, not everything you may have got it, because it's difficult also, but by Krishna's grace, if you have got something from that Srimad Bhagavatam and the Salsangam, then you will never be able to give it up. Because you started seeing something that you haven't got it before from this world. World hasn't given you that. World has only thrown at you all the miseries of this world, all the problems of this world. But what Bhagavatam is saying to us is that the knowledge of the soul doesn't happen overnight. It happens gradually in this way, that Karna Nadi has to open and Krishna has to get inside. Geharadim, Geharadim Chinati. Purushasya Yado Bhavapradam Geharadim Chinati. Right? So what it is saying here is that you need not have complete devotion. Yeah? Nor you may have complete purification of your heart. It's not necessary that you have to get to that stage. But through Salsangam, when you start listening to Bhagavatam, at some point in time, you will develop some taste if you have taken it seriously. And if it has not happened, the only thing to be blamed is your own mind, nobody else. That mind has not blessed you with that. Your own mind, which is blocking it from inside. And that mind's blessing is required. That's what we mentioned last time also, right? So, somehow or the other, why is this not taste not developing? Because the mind is pushing out from there. And therefore, that katha, shravanam, aswadanam, all these things, that you will get more attracted to it, and you will find that as the very essence of life in that way, right? So, in that way, bhakti will develop inside gradually. It may take time for bhakti to develop, but that relishing Bhagavatam, right, with that desire for sense gratification must go, will leave. That's what he's saying here. That relishing Bhagavatam means desire for sense gratification will leave that person. He won't be attracted by that anymore. And this is again, he's saying here, Vidramaitreya Samadham is like that. Vidramaitreya Maharshi is saying that after getting Salsangam and developed some taste for that, that taste has to be there. And that taste is Krishna's mercy, that is. A lot of people, you can see that. They have developed a taste. Those who have developed taste, you can see them also. They are moving from A to B to C, to places after place, to hear Bhagavatam from different sources. And Krishna gives them that very freely to them. They get the opportunity to discuss together Bhagavatam and find some very deep-rooted things spoken in the Bhagavatam, which normally does not come on the surface. When you read the verse, you won't get it. But because Bhagavatam is from the Upanishads, Bhagavatam is from Brahma Sutram, Vedanta Sutram, those higher knowledge, what is spoken, as I mentioned before, that what is happening life after death, what is happening to Jiva, these topics, they are all connected with Upanishads. Bhagavatam has taken from the Upanishads and presented it to us in a format in order to develop some taste in us, in the form of stories, katha, stuti, upadesham. In that way. But as much as you become absorbed in that, you start seeing there is more to it than that, what you thought about it. Initially you won't understand that. that, as I was saying this morning, that the rishis are talking things from a much deeper level. And we have lost that fineness in us to understand what they are saying. Like the way they have analyzed karma. They have analyzed maya. Yeah. Particularly these two, maya and karma. What is its impact on us? How did they come to this conclusion about maya and karma? And even in their realized state, when the Vedic knowledge was revealed to them, after the knowledge was revealed to the rishis, they have experimented that knowledge in this world and they have found that everything is true. What they have heard from the Upanishads. Upanishads is spoken in a very simple terms. Like for example, you can see this also. Katha Upanishad starts, right? Nachiketas is asking this question to Yama. What is his question? He says, tell me what will happen after death. That's all I want to know, he said. Imagine that, somebody asking that question today. You can ask a scientist, go and ask him what will happen after the death. What will be his answer? He says, I don't know, I'm also going to the same way. That will be his answer, isn't it? But if Nachiketas had the courage to ask Yama this question, imagine their state of thinking. That he had the strength to ask that question. And he knew that Yama will be able to answer that question properly. This is why Katha Upanishad is so important. Whole of Bhagavad Gita, most of them are from Katha Upanishad. One time, if we get some time, we will go through Katha Upanishad separately. But you will understand that how important it is to know these things. That they were able to think about a life after death with full justification that there is a life after death. And there are different levels of experiences after leaving this body. You don't need to have this gross body all the time to experience things. In a subtle level, in a subtle state of existence, you can experience things. And they were aware of all these things. How did they get to know all that? And that is what is discussed in the Brahma Sutra. And that is what here also Vidura is saying to Maitreya Maharshi, that unless I have that mercy from you, that how will I ever feel that that to leave Krishna consciousness? This is all a part of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not only doing arati. Krishna consciousness means understanding life properly. Life after death, what exists? What does the rishis have to say to us about it? Life after death. And what happens after to the life after death? How do we move away from this body to another body? Yeah. So, you remember in the Bhagavatam, in two instances, how we leave this body from one to another body, we've spoken about that. One in the Puranjana story. And then Vasudeva says to Kamsa also, Tranajalugam, there explanations, explanations given there. Like how that worm moves from one leaf to another leaf, and leaving this body behind and gets the next body. Like that. So, different places, what does it all show? It shows that they have thought about this life after death very seriously. It's not that everything is in this world. They don't give much importance to this life in this world. This is a time given to us to take advantage of it, to understand that. See, first thing is like this. Before we discuss about a life after death, about these different worlds that is existing, we have to know who we are, isn't it? Who is going to experience all these things. So most of the people have difficulty in understanding even that. Even understanding that, they find it very difficult. They are thinking they are this body, and therefore their conclusion is that after the body is dead, everything is over. This is not Sanatana Dharma or Vedic literature talks about. They are not interested. This conclusion is because of the tamogunam inside. Not able to think any more higher than that. Everything is over when the body is dead. That's the end of it. Nothing else after that. So, if you take that that as the guiding factor or guideline, then all these things don't exist. Which one? A jiva, which is moving from this body to another body. It has no importance anymore. Similarly, all the worlds that is existing after death, we talk about. We talked about Devayanam, Pitriyanam. Karma Mukti, Sadhya Mukti. Shukha Brahmarshi spoke of all that. Now, Shukha Brahmarshi was able to say all those things. But we find it difficult because majority of the people think that everything is over after death. Everything is finished. For them there is no Maya and there is no karma. Only this body exists. And in this body, if you can feed it very well and enjoy the body as long as it exists, that's all we need. After that, they are not bothered. So that's not what discussed in the Bhagavatam. So here he's saying here that when bhakti develops in the heart, due to that, anusandhanam or aswadanam or the relishing of that, this ubhavoga asakti, desire for sense gratification, will completely go away, right? So, but that opportunity has to come by Krishna's grace, right? So, only when Krishna's mercy comes in some form, and that is Krishna's mercy, to get some taste for Bhagavatam. Nothing else. Like we saw yesterday, Yudhishthira said, isn't it? Yudhishthira said, you can condemn me for anything, for what I have done. It doesn't matter to me, he said. What to do? I have done that. I had that vasana in me. So I had done all that. Dyuda asakti, mrgaya asakti, and sri sakti. All these things are there in us. And I couldn't do anything about it. So everybody blasted him. Yudhishthira was blasted by all the brothers, and especially Bhima turned against him. He's the next brother, isn't it? Next younger one. And he got very upset with Yudhishthira on that. But Yudhishthira said, very calm, he said, it doesn't matter, he said at the end. I have got Krishna with me. And as long as Krishna is there, my life is okay. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. And that to feel that what is happening in life, positive or negative, whatever experiences we have, they are not important, but to accept it that way. So, so he says that Yudhishthira's nature is like that. From the very beginning, he was like that. That Krishna is there, and Krishna is younger to him by age. Krishna calls him as the elder brother. Krishna offers obeisances to him, to Yudhishthira, when he sees him. And so that relationship, this is all on this worldly level. But Yudhishthira was always on this understanding that Krishna is the reality. Yudhishthira had that conviction in him. So, so bhakti has to get stronger inside. With that, the desire for sense gratification has to leave. It has to purify our heart through Krishna's different pastimes, and similarly this creation, everything. And even to some extent, if you have understood Krishna's glories, to some extent, even a little bit, from Bhagavatam, right? And such a person will feel that this is not good enough. I need to know more about Krishna. So that is why Vidura is asking again, Maitreya Maharshi, tell me in detail. Munirvivakshur bhagavil gunanam, 12th verse. Sakhabide Bharata Maha Krishna Yasmindranam Gramya Sukhanu Vadir Madhargrihidanu Hare Kathayam. Then he is evaluating Mahabharatam. Who? Vidura. Vidura is saying, evaluating Mahabharatam. He is saying that, why is that? In Mahabharatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi has gone and spoken so many things for satisfying one's desires. Why did he do that? He said, right? And wanted to attract people to read Mahabharatam, said. So, only thing is, if you read Mahabharatam, you will get attracted to Gramya Sukham. Gramya Sukham means mundane happiness. And if that develops inside, it will not help you very much for pure bhakti. It's not very helpful, right? Talking to them, to people, when Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Mahabharatam, he said that, I have spoken everything about dharmam in this world in Mahabharatam. I have spoken about dharmam. Even if they have this vasana to enjoy life, let them do it based on dharmam. Let them not move away from the path of dharmam. That was the intention behind it. So keeping that perspective of dharmam, I wrote this Mahabharata, right? But even though he did all that, it hasn't gone into their head, right? So what they thought was that Mahabharata says that you can enjoy life, there's nothing wrong in that. Gramya sukham, right? Gramya sukham kathanu, gramya sukhanu vadir madir grihidanu hare kathayam. It's referring to Mahabharata, this is, right? So it has not gone inside, right? So if you keep on enjoying this gramya sukham, do you understand? Gramya sukham means mundane happiness. What Krishna has spoken in the same Mahabharatam in Bhagavad Gita, anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasumam, that will not happen. If you keep on enjoying this gramya sukham, this anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasumam, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, which is in the middle of Mahabharatam, will not happen, and it will be very difficult for them to get convinced on that. And that was a mistake in the Mahabharatam, said, who said? Vidura says. These rishis, they discuss what they have written. It's not that they wrote something and said that you can publish it and distribute it to everybody. You have to discuss what is written in the book. Otherwise, what's the point? Shuka Brahmarshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Maitreya Maharshi, Vidura, Uddhava, all these great souls, whatever they talk to each other, that is the subject matter of Bhagavatam. And that is to be, what they are saying is that he is, Vidura is actually criticizing Vedavyas, saying to Maitreya Maharshi, that he wrote this Mahabharatam, and in that Mahabharatam he has spoken all these things. And how will people read that Mahabharatam and get attracted to Krishna? How will they get attracted to bhakti? How will they develop bhakti, right? So, at that moment, the principle was, if you gratify senses for some time, you will get fed up one day. Gramya sukham, yeah? So, one day you will get fed up after sense gratification for a long time, and you will get attracted to Krishna, right? So, gramya sukham, sense gratification, has to create that first in us, to get fed up first, and then go to Krishna. So, it is not for that purpose, in Mahabharatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi spoke about all the sense enjoyment, what he has spoken there. I think that's why he has done that, said Vidura. I cannot understand otherwise. Maybe this is what was going through his mind, Vidura says, that let people enjoy their life in this world, and one day they'll get fed up with it, and then they will turn their attention towards Krishna. Maybe this was, Vidura says, maybe this was going through his mind. And the same thing, he says, if you look into the second canto, in the third chapter, we mentioned that, maybe you may have forgotten all that now. So, if you look into the third chapter, the verse, 11th verse, 2, 3, 11. Before that, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi says, you can worship all these different devadas for fulfilling your different desires. You remember? It mentions there that Brahma Varchasya Kamastu Yajeda Brahmanaspadim Indram Indriya Kamastu Prajagama Prajapati. Onwards, 5, 6 verses is talking about, if you have this desire, you worship this form. If you have this desire, you worship this form. A number of things he has spoken there, right? So, there Sri Shuka Brahmarshi also said the same thing, that if you have desire, you worship form. And what was the purpose of saying that? Shuka Brahmarshi himself said that. What did he say there? He said,
ஏதாவான் ஏவ யஜதாம் இக நிஷ்ரேயசோதய பகவதி அஜலோ பாவோ எல் பாகவத சங்கதா 11th வர்ஸ்.
So Shuka Brahmarshi answered that question very nicely to Parikshit. He says to him, if you worship these different forms, right, then those forms will fulfill your desires, right? Fulfill your desires. Now, is that the purpose of worshipping these different forms? Shuka Brahmarshi said, no. Why? Because for different desires, if you fulfill, if you worship these different forms, due to that upasana or that worship, you will definitely get your desires fulfilled one day. If not in this life, in the next life. Because it's a desire in you, it has to be fulfilled one day. And those forms you are worshipping will fulfill those desires, right? But even though you have done that for the sake of fulfilling the desires, due to worshipping that form, it will create some purification inside. This is the reason in Vedam, any upasana, any devata upasana is not rejected. Any worship, because ahankaram to go from inside, that's the only way it can happen. That you are able to surrender to some authority higher. So for that reason, the rishis are saying that if you do some worship of any form, doesn't matter who it is, that with some desires inside, one day those desires will get fulfilled, no doubt. But more than that, it will create a situation inside, you will get purified, and due to that, you will get the opportunity for satsangam later, right? And through that satsangam, you will start understanding what spiritual life is. And through that, you will develop proper bhakti. So all these things are there. So Shuka Brahmarshi said to Parikshit, it is not a waste of time. And that is why he said all those words, verses there. Edava neva yajadam iha nishrayasodaya bhagavati ajalo bhavo yal bhagavada sangada. You will get an opportunity through that worship also. Eventually you will come to understand that it is possible to develop purification inside through them worship also. And through that worship you will also come to get an opportunity for satsangam. And through that you will come to the bhakti. And so actual benefit of those worship of different forms is this, that you will get satsangam at the end, right? And not getting your desires satisfied, right? Similarly, in Mahabharatam also, in the same way, for different things are spoken there to fulfill your desires. Fulfill your desires, karmam, and so many different vratam, homam, so many instructions given there. And Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying that, all those things, right? So, the purpose of all that is not only to fulfill those desires, but by doing those things, you will acquire some piety, and through that you will get satsangam, and through that satsangam, you will develop bhakti later on. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi took a little bit in a route, thinking that these people are not, desires are there, they are not going to give it up. So, let them fulfill the desire, but let them do it in this way. Rather than simply going and working and trying to fulfill the desires through other means, their own way. Rather, they take to this worship, form of worship, whatever that is prescribed in Mahabharatam, in different instances, different devadas worship. All the stories, if you read Mahabharatam, you will find this. Krishna going to Kailasam to meet Lord Shiva, to have a son. All these stories are there in the Mahabharatam. And similarly, many other stories as well. So, so the idea behind this is all to teach us that karmam, through karmam, these are all karmam, what is spoken in the Mahabharatam, through that karmam get satsangam, and through that satsangam develop bhakti. So therefore, even if the karmam is done for kamya karmam, that means for fruitive activities, and the piety that you will get from there, and that one, what they get from that, through that piety what they have acquired, gradually they will get satsangam from that, and they will also get to pure bhakti later on, right? So what it is that ordinary people, because they have got vasanas and desires inside, in order to bring them to pure bhakti or prema bhakti, Vedavyasa Maharshi thought this may be the better method to get them attracted to all the demigod worship, what we call demigods, but in the worship in the sense that if they have these desires, so many things mentioned there, isn't it? That if you want beauty, worship Gandharvas. And if you want good women in life, worship Urvashi. Then, Vidya Gamastu Girisham. If you want knowledge, worship Lord Shiva. And if you want a good married life, worship Sri Parvati. Like this, a list is given there. Completely. The idea behind all that is, you are in that stage at that time. You're not able to get out of your vasanas and desires. So therefore, follow that through in this way, through that form. And through the mercy of that form, that you will eventually come out of those vasanas. And you will slowly come out of that vasanas. And that will lead into purification and go on to satsangam. And through satsangam, you will develop bhakti later on. So, there, after this discussion, he says that bhakti, Mahabharatam also wants to talk about bhakti, right? But through that bhakti, pure bhakti, to realize the self and to get liberated, right? And that is exactly what Mahabharatam is also doing. Only thing is, it is done in a little different way than in the way it is done in the Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam, it is done in a different way, right? So in Mahabharatam, you find different karmam spoken for fulfilling your desires. A lot of things are spoken there. So if you do those karmam, what is spoken there, acquire the piety and through that satsangam, and gradually our seriousness will develop inside us for self-realization. It will come to us. And prema bhakti, and through that ultimate success. So Mahabharata Siddhantam is accepted by Bhagavatam. Only way it is done is that it is spoken in a different way. The Siddhantam is accepted. What Mahabharatam says is accepted in the Bhagavatam also. Right? So, and that is why that verse is very important. Why people ask this demigod worship? The people say like that, isn't it? But they don't understand anything what they are talking about. So you have to look at these verses carefully. Only then you will know that if Sri Shuka Brahmarshi is not a person who will say such things. First of all, he has no attraction for anything in this world. So do you think that he will tell people you worship different forms? So if he has said that, there must be a reason behind it. And the reason behind that also he is saying there in the Bhagavatam, in that verse, yeah? If you can look at that, he says, Edava Neva Vedam, that verse. Edava Neva Yajadam, Ihan Ishraya Sodaya, Bhagavati Ajalo Bhavo, Yel Bhagavata Sangada. So, that's an important verse. So, we'll continue after a few minutes. Cheto Darpanam Arjanam Baumaha, Davagni Narvavanam, Shreya Kaitava Chandriya Vidaranam, Vidyavadhu Jeevanam. Anandam Buddhivardhanam Pradipada Purnamrada Swatanam Sarvatna Subhanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namna Magari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smaranena Kala Eda Drishi Tavakrabha Bhagavan Mamapi Durdeva Midrasham Iha Janina Nuragaham Trinarabhi Shunijena Tarorabhi Sahishnuna Amanina manadena kirtaniya sada hari Nathanam najanam nasundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamai Mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadat bhakti rahai dugitvai Ayi nandatanuja kingaram padidamam shame bhavambudo Vayato pada pangajastita duli sadrasham nijindayam Nayanam galada shudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira പുലകേർനിജിതം കഥാവബൂത്തവൻ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിതം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം പിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദദാ ദുലംബടോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവ നാപരാ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ.
സാ ശ്രദ്ധദാനസ്യ വിവർദ്ധമാനാം വിരക്തിമന്യത്ര കരോതി പുംസ ഹരേ പദാനുസ്മൃതി നിർവ്രതസ്യ സമസ്ത ദുഃഖാത്യയമാശുധത്തേ.
13th verse in the 5th chapter, 3:5-13. So, saying here that by hearing Bhagavadam, Katha Shravanam, through that bhakti becomes very firm, deep-rooted inside, and through that bhakti alone, vairagyam will come. Vishaya vairagyam, virakti will come. From that bhakti, virakti will come, right? So, due to that, the distress from the material world will not be experienced anymore. You become free from the distress of this world, right? So, main thing is to take every pastime, Krishna's pastime, seriously. And hold on to that pastimes very well, in the sense that by hearing the pastimes, remembering those pastimes, and in each pastime, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi has spoken some message also through that. And when you start connecting the message with the pastime, it will become very deeply absorbed inside, right? And at the same, it can be done glorification of the pastime. It is called anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means while sitting alone without doing anything, even then, thinking about these pastimes and the messages, what has been spoken there, right? So, this can be done while chanting the holy name also. So, Katha or Kirtanam or Srimad Bhagavatam is not only reading Srimad Bhagavatam, but also absorption in that, right? So, due to that alone, this bhakti will become firm, dridham, inside. What does bhakti mean? Bhakti means like Uddhava had. That's bhakti. Bhakti means that Krishna is everything. That feeling to come, develop inside. For us at the moment, it is another part of our life. That if you want to remember Krishna, we have set a time for that. And we have set up certain, rest of it is our life, my life, independent from that. That has to go, that barrier between my life and spiritual life. There's only one life, that is spiritual life, and that is bhakti, right? So with that, the excitement for sense enjoyment, attraction for this world will leave us. And one thing we have to realize, Krishna and material sense enjoyment are opposing forces. They won't stay together. It cannot stay together. Krishna and material sense enjoyment, they are always opposing each other, right? Because they are contradictions. When Ishvara Asakti, when Krishna consciousness develops, or attachment to Krishna develops, attachment for sense enjoyment, worldly life will leave us. When proper attachment develops for Krishna. When attachment for sense gratification develops, attachment will Krishna will leave us. They cannot come together. They cannot stay together. That's the way to understand it. That if you are getting attracted by sense enjoyment, that means my Krishna consciousness is very poor. Very poor level, that is. No attraction for Krishna. And that you will see in your... Everyone can look at Varun's life and see that where we are, how far we are attracted to different things, right? So, in only way to free ourselves from Vishaya Asakti, that means the sense gratification, is to strengthen the bhakti in the heart, right? And, but there's also another thing, To think that after I have become free from all sense gratification, then I will take to bhakti, Krishna bhakti. If you think like that, till now nobody has done that, in that way. This has to go side by side. That means sense gratification, because I have attachment for sense enjoyment, therefore I cannot get attracted to Krishna. One should not think like that. One should always realize that this attraction for sense enjoyment will leave one day, and with that understanding, one should continue with Krishna consciousness. Right? So, with the strength of that, that when bhakti gets deeper and firm inside, with that, mind will get absorbed in that, and with that way, when the mind gets totally absorbed, material distress will leave us once for all. So, what he's saying here is, actually, bliss or happiness is only Ishvara, Krishna, right? Everything outside is only going to give us distress at the end, dukkha purnam, right? So, if the mind starts sticking to sense objects, ultimate result will be distress, right? And this discrimination is required, whether you are a jnani or whether you are a devotee. Jnani calls it as nityanitya vastu vivekam. They have a terminology for that. Not separating material sense enjoyment and spiritual life. And devotee's case, it is in another way spoken. Devotee says like this, that vishayasakti goes away, and that continuously through hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and holy name, that ultimately one should absorb the mind in Krishna, right? So once this happens, then it stops going to sense objects, and mind will get completely settled in Krishna. It will not come out from there anymore. So with that, all the distress also will be gone. So this is the only thing what he is saying here. Sa shraddha dhanasya vivardhamanam virakti manyatra karyodipam saha hare padanusmriti nurvardasya samasta dukha tyayamashudhate. That's the words he is talking about it here, right? And then he said that most of the people from sense objects, right? We think that we'll get happiness from that, and we'll run after the sense objects, right? And the more you start running after them, the more you will get distressed in life, right? Because Ananda Swarupam is Krishna. Krishna is the only source of happiness, and once the mind gets settled there, that's the only way to become free from distress, and able to recognize this very early in life, and to get the mind fixed there, and for that purpose, katha, kirtanam, and bhakti is the process. So, and when mind gets absorbed in that way, then it will turn into anandam or bliss. Tan shochya shochyana vidonu shochye hare kathaya vimuna vimukhan akhena kshino di devo animishastu yesha ayur prada vada gadi smridina. Certain things spoken about how gradually it develops in a person's heart, bhakti. So, so he's saying here, the reason why we don't get a taste for katha or stuti or bhagavadam, upadesham, right? You see, rishis have spoken some things, like Maitreya Maharshi here. Later on, Shukha Brahmarshi will say so many things. And finally, Krishna says, Jadabharata says, Mujugunda says, Akrura says, Uddhava says. So many great personalities have spoken so many things and compiled all together as Bhagavadam and given to us. And we, in our present state, not able to connect with it. The reason for that, as Maitreya Maharshi said, that Satugunam is not there. Therefore, it's not clicking for us. We are reading it and we are battling with it. It shouldn't be a battle to understand Bhagavadam, right? So actually it should supposed to be relishing Bhagavadam, It's not bitter like Karela. It is supposed to be sweet like Gulab Jamun. It's supposed to enjoy Bhagavatam. But for us at the moment, it is more like Karela than anything else. Nothing is working and nothing is making sense. And everything looks very coming from another world. We can't understand it properly and not able to connect with it, right? Why is that happening? Because of the impurities inside. The mind is so impure with various things, right? And mind is impure with what? Vasana inside. Vishaya vasana. Desire for enjoyment, right? So, and therefore, that rasam of Krishna, we are not getting it, right? Not only that, we are feeling a lot of lethargy inside in getting to spiritual life. Feeling always something or the other, blocking our mind in getting involved seriously in Bhagavatam, right? So all that is only due to one reason, Vishaya Vasana, Vasana inside, attraction for sense enjoyment, right? So the only way to come out of that, be determined to do it and become more and more determined and keep on doing it, and one day by Krishna's grace, that taste will come. It won't leave us, it will come. And little realization Krishna will give to everybody. Nobody is exempted from that. One first day you're not going to get all the happiness of spiritual life. But Krishna will reveal to you from inside that I had enough of all these things. I didn't get anything out of it. It was just a waste of time. This realization will come to yourself gradually from within. And once that happens, the attraction for this world will also go. Because people will say so many things, still the society will tell you, this is happening, that's happening. You will hear this way and you will leave that way. It has no value anymore to that. Bhagavatam has taken or replaced everything inside, right? So, so mind has got only two options, isn't it? Either it will go to sleep. That is called layam. Layam. It goes to layam. Or it will go to sense objects. That's called vikshepam. Vikshepam and layam. This is the two states mind will oscillate between the two. Anything, if you are not interested, you'll go to sleep. And or the option is that your mind will go into something else, more depending on the desires inside, vasana inside, right? So, this is the nature of the mind, to fall into sleep or fall into vikshepam. You know what vikshepam means. Vikshepam means that other thoughts, nothing connected with spiritual life, mundane thoughts comes in and takes over. And that makes you feel that is most important thing in life, those mundane ideas, right? So mind to come out of that, vikshepam and layam, and to get absorbed in Krishna, the only way it can be done is this: continuously chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, and in all these processes in bhakti, the nine processes spoken here. So if it is done well, after some time, if a little bit of these vasanas are gone away from inside, then mind will get purified and sattugunam will start building up inside. Sattugunam can only come from Krishna. It cannot come from outside. It's very difficult to develop sattugunam otherwise, right? So with that, you will start tasting Bhagavatam and Kirtanam, everything. If you are getting a taste for that, it means that sattugunam is building up inside. Once you come to that stage, you have escaped. Up to that, it's a battle. Once you start developing that sattugunam and you start getting a little bit of taste for Bhagavatam, Kirtanam, holy name, everything, then you are become free. You won't have the problem again that's going to disturb you, right? And then you will start thinking, looking for opportunity where to get that happiness, and you will engage in that. And once you bhakti on its own has got such a power that if you have developed some bhakti, the power of bhakti is such, it will drag you further into it. We haven't got that initial stage right. That's what the problem is. You will see in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna says to Uddhava that bhakti leads to bhakti, it says. Yeah. Bhakti leads to bhakti, and this is what that means when he said that. 14th chapter, 11:14, I think. He says this. Bhakti leads to bhakti. A little taste comes, and then the power of bhakti will drag you towards that strongly, right? So with that sense enjoyment and everything will leave us, and then finally mind will become completely absorbed in Krishna. At that time, all the distress also will go. You will see the 14th verse saying that, Tan shochya shochya na vidho ne shoche hare kathayam vimuna vimukhana khena kshinodi devo nimishastu ye shal ayurprada vadagadi smridinam. People who did not understand Mahabharatam properly, the purpose of Mahabharatam, right? Ordinary people, and they are called ignorant ones. Ajnalogam. Ajnalogam means who could not understand the message of Mahabharatam. They are very unfortunate people, and they desire all the mercy because they read Mahabharatam, and from Mahabharatam they thought that by reading Mahabharatam they thought it is better to perform these sacrifices and through that sacrifices fulfill all the desires and gratify the senses. In this way they got attracted to fruitive activities, and such people deserve some mercy because they got misled in that way. Mahabharatam, the intention of Vedavyas when he wrote Mahabharatam was not like that. But he felt that if they have such a kamya karma means fruitive activity. The fruitive activity, nobody needs to teach us. We come with that to this world. So automatically you want to engage in karma to fulfill the desires. It's there in every jiva, has got it. So to come out of that, jiva is not ready very easily, to ready for that. So therefore he is saying here, they deserve your mercy, and they are Mahabharata Talpiryam, they have, some people, he is saying here, they have understood the message of Mahabharata, but in spite of that, they are not getting attracted to Krishna Katha, about Srimad Bhagavatam in other words, right? So everything requires Krishna's mercy. To understanding the message properly requires Krishna's mercy. Then the strength of the mind to fight this desire for sense enjoyment and to become free from that, and to understand that fruitive activities will only bind us more to this world, and in that way able to think differently, to change our way of thinking from inside, and to change our mind towards Salsangam, and trying to understand the higher levels of life, of bhakti, and through that finally become pure in heart. And that is why, for that purpose, Vedavya started all that with Mahabharatam, with fruitive activities, to come to this level later. To bring us to this level, he wrote Mahabharatam first, with fruitive activities, knowing very well that the people who are going to read Mahabharatam will all have fruitive desires, and therefore he compiled Mahabharatam in that way. But some people who have even read Mahabharatam understood all these things, but somehow or other they didn't get attracted to Krishna. So therefore, what happens to them? They get involved in arguments with others about this, right? And they waste their time in this way, and they also require your mercy, he's saying. Then you'll see them. That's what that verse all saying. Tan shochya shochya na vidho na shoche hare kathayam vimukha anakena kshinodi devo animishastu yesham ayur pratha vadagadi smritinam. In this way, great scholars, even today you can see this sometimes happening, they study Mahabharatam, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all, and they get into arguments. This arguments is not going to help anybody at the end. The people, funny thing is, the interesting thing is, that the people who are arguing each other, neither of them have seen the truth, and they are arguing about it. That's one. So, Krishna says this, that they don't know me. These two people who are arguing about me. They are arguing about me, but they don't know me. And they are arguing about me. So that is how it is. That their understanding is that through scholarship, it is not going to solve the problem. Scholarship is not going to solve the problem. Right? So Krishna has to be understood the way Bhagavatam has spoken, through the pastimes and through these processes called creation, maintenance, dissolution, srishti, sthiti, samharam. These are the tools given to us to understand the Krishna. Pastimes and the srishti, sthiti, samhara leela, right? So Maitreya Maharshi asked this to Vidura, explain to me that please, he said. So Maitreya Maharshi glorifies Vidura and starts talking about creation process, right? He said that this creation process already we have discussed before. In Brahmanarada Samvadam, it was spoken there. So there is no necessity to expand on that, he said. But I will talk to you in essence what it is. That in devastation time, that creation, this so-called creation, goes back to its cause, where it came from, right? And the causes of this creation is called karana. And that causes goes into maya and dissolves at the end, right? So, and maya goes and dissolves in Krishna. So this is how it is. Maya comes from Krishna, and from that maya comes the primary causes, and that primary causes comes the secondary creation. But in the devastation time, all the secondary causes goes back into the primary causes. Primary causes goes back into maya, and maya goes back to Krishna again. And only Krishna remains. That is Shuddha Satchidananda Brahma. Pure Satchidananda remains like that. Right? At that time, the jiva also, all the jivas goes back to Krishna. Goes back to Krishna. So, and Krishna remains alone. Or Parabrahma, or Satya Chitta Anandam, that Chaitanyam, Satchidananda Chaitanyam, remains unaffected by anything what is happening here. So, at that moment, all the jivas also, you can understand this way, at the moment Krishna is present inside a Sandaryami. This Sandaryami is Krishna himself. So when devastation happens, Sandaryami goes back to Krishna where he is originally, where he is from. And it becomes more and more subtle. More and more subtle. That's what's happening. When it becomes more and more gross, maya comes, and then causes comes, and then creation comes. Creation is the gross form of Krishna. The most subtle form is Krishna on his own. Pure Satchidananda Brahmam. That's Krishna. That is the most subtle form, right? So, and Krishna remains as Atma Rama. Pure consciousness, Satchidananda Brahmam remains as it is, unaffected by anything. At the beginning of creation, maya, which was already dissolved in Krishna, gets separated from him. And that maya first got separated from Brahman. Separated from Brahman. And kalam or time is, we call it in English, but kalam is a potency of Krishna. Another potency of Krishna. That time started agitating maya. Time has the power to agitate maya, and in that way, prakriti or material nature, from there comes Brahman. In association with that maya comes Ishvara. So Ishvara is that stage in the creation process. When Brahman is association with maya, takes this Vidya Maya, that is. Maya has two sides. With that Vidya Maya, when it associates, Ishvara comes. And at the same time, because Ishvara has come, how did that happen? Because this Chaitanyam called Satya Chitta Anandam, Paramatma Chaitanyam, Chaitanyam means that consciousness, has spread into Maya. It has spread into Maya. And when it spread into Maya, that we consider that, and it started, that started what is, what we start calling it as, Ishvara is called then Purusha, at that moment, right? So that Chaitanyam, what is reflected in the Maya, is called Purusha. Prakriti Chaitanyam, that is reflected. So when the Prakriti, I know these are all very abstract things when we speak about it, you just have to keep your mind absorbed in that, and then you will start seeing the way rishis are understanding, saying these things, right? That what they are saying is that when Brahma Chaitanyam or Paramatma Chaitanyam, that pure consciousness, spreads into Maya, this we are talking about the avidya Maya. So Maya has got these two potencies. It's not that they are living two things separately as such. Maya is one. But when Chaitanyam goes into Maya, two things are happening. One, through that vidya aspect of Maya comes Ishvara. And the avidya aspect of Maya, it comes that Purusha which is reflecting in the avidya. It's a Prakriti Chaitanyam is Purusha. So, from then onwards, creation begins. So, that is how then Mahatattvam, Ahangaram, Mahatattvam comes, Ahangaram comes, Tanmatra comes. Tanmatra means the subtle form of the gross material elements. Earth, water, air, ether, fire. Their subtle form is sound, touch, smell, taste and form. All those are their subtle forms. They comes, right? Then five gross material elements. Then five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. And our subtle body completely. Andhakaranam, what it is called. In this way, all the deities who are related with all these things, Adhishtadra Devada, they are called. Indriya Adhishtadra Devada, all of them gradually comes out of it. They come one after the other from that. And they have become the cause of the creation from. Maya has transformed in this way. And they became the cause of creation. And even though they have all come out, they could not work together. They found that difficult. They were not qualified. It is at that time, these three things, Kalam, the time, Maya, and then Krishna's Chaitanyam, or Paramatma Chaitanyam, pure consciousness, all three things, that these three things are present in all these, all these transformed Maya. That means, when you look at these things, which means, Mahatattvam, Ahangaram, Tanmatra, and material elements, Panchabhutam, five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, Andhakaranam. In all of them is present these three things. Which one? Kalam is present, Maya is present, Krishna is present. This is how it is. That when we say it's present means that Krishna is present in everything. Even in Maya, Krishna is present. Without Krishna, when we say Krishna, Paramatma Chaitanyam, or the Brahma Chaitanyam, without that, none of this can function. None of this can function, right? So, why do we say these three things? Why? Because it is through time, Maya is able to change. The impact of time on Maya is Maya keeps changing, things start changing. And it is through, why we say Maya is present, it is through Maya that we get drifted away to matter. We get attracted to matter. That is identification with the body and things like that. That is the effect of Maya. And then, and because Krishna is present in there, this time and Maya is working. Otherwise they cannot work. So, that's in a summary form. Maitreya is speaking all these things in the next many, many verses. You can see from 18th verse onwards. This is what he is saying to, in essence, this is the story, summary of that. Yeah, that, that the Maya, Kalam, and the Chaitanyam. These three things are there in all these things what has come from Maya. From Maya came, what all came, Prakriti has there, and then Purusha, Prakriti and Purusha, that is a Sankhyam way of looking at it. And Prakriti, from Prakriti started changing again. And Prakriti, Mahatattvam, Ahamtattvam, Tanmatra, Panjabhutam, five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, and the karanam. These are all the different parts of primary creation. So all these parts of primary creation became active due to the presence of these three things. Which one? Kalam, Maya, and the Paramatma Chaitanyam. When these three things are present inside, they all of them can function. Otherwise, they cannot. Right? So they have all got life then. That means they have all got life in them. Right? So due to Kalam, changes happens. And due to Maya, Vikshepam happens. It is due to presence of Maya that our mind is going after other things. Not able to focus on anything. We know what when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is only talking about one thing. What is that? Soul. Soul is the topic of discussion in the Bhagavatam. It's not. But even though soul is the topic of discussion, what Krishna had to say to Uddhava throughout Ekadasham is nothing but soul. And what Kapila Maharshi has to say to Devahuti is all about the soul. Bharata Maharaj has to say to Rahuvana, all about the soul. Is it not? Wherever you look in the Bhagavatam, what is the message? That we have nothing to do with this body, the reality is the soul. But that thing won't happen. Mind goes away in other topics in this world, gets attracted to various things in this world, and not able to focus on that one thing. Why? Maya. That's Maya. So Kalam makes the changes, what happened. Maya takes the attention away, drifts away from that, and then that Chaitanyam which is present, without that Chaitanyam, Krishna's presence, Kalam and Maya cannot operate. It's required, right? So, and it with all these things, now everything is ready for creation. Everything is ready for creation. So, at that moment, they could not work together. Kalam, Maya, and that everything could not work together. It was at that time, you will see that verse, the famous verse in the 39th verse in the 5th chapter, how Krishna made it work. Means that Chaitanyam, presence of Chaitanyam made Kalam, Maya, everything to work together. Namamate Devapada Aravindam Prapanna Tabo Vashama Matavatram Yen Mulagedo Yadeyo Anjasoro Samsara Dukam Bahirul Kshipandi. Then the prayer begins like that. They said that we can't work together. They all said, we can't work together. So they prayed for help, right? He said, we offer our obeisances to you that you are capable of removing the distress of those who comes to you. And there it is combined like that, prapannatapopashalam atapatram, that it's like an umbrella which gives you relief from the miseries, right? So what is the suffering? Suffering is these three kinds of miseries of life. Adhyalpikam, adi bhautikam, adi devikam. It's a heat and you give protection from that. And they take your shelter and come out of it. So we are taking that shelter and your shelter and absorption in you, that Chaitanyam, he says that it removes everything, all distress from our life. So it's all spoken in a way that is to make us aware that even they, these powers, which one, what we have seen so far, you know, the ones we have mentioned before, that means the Mahatattvam, Ahandattvam, and Ahandattvam means Ahangaram, basically. Ahandattvam is Ahangaram. From Mahatattvam comes Ahandattvam. Then the Tanmatras. Tanmatra means the subtle form of the elements. And then the gross elements, which means the five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, right? And then the Andhakaranam, which means Manasa, Buddhi, Ahangaram, Chittam. Yeah. So these four things in the subtle body, Manasa, Buddhi, Ahangaram, Chittam, they are called Chaturvyuham. Chaturvyuham means that Krishna is inside a Sandaryami. But there is a way of worshipping Krishna, not based on the Vedam, but based on the Pancharatram. Pancharatravidhi. It's called Agama. So this worship of Krishna in these four forms, Sangarshana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudeva, those four forms, is not Vaidikam. It is coming from Agama. Agama Shastram it is. Yeah. So Narada Maharshi wrote Panjaratrika Vidhi on that principle. So that is why it has become very dear to Vaishnavas, this Panjaratrika Vidhi. And similarly there is Vaikhanasam also. So they are actually coming not from the Vedam. Vaidhika Vidhi doesn't take these into account. Vedam says there is only one thing. But these four ways, because Krishna is present inside in our subtle body in these four different locations. And when we say is present, what that means is, Andaryami is present, without Andaryami's presence, mind won't work. Intelligence won't work. And Ahankaram won't be there. You see, we are able to identify as individuals. And we are able to identify with the body. And able to declare to the world that I am an individual. I am a person. It's only because of Ahankaram inside. And that Ahankaram won't work unless the Andaryami is inside. So these four things, Buddhi, Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram and Chittam, which is Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Sankarsana and Vasudeva, these four forms of worshipping Him is coming from Panjaratriya Vidhi. It is a Tantra, Vaishnava Tantram it is. It is again Tantram it is, Tantriya Vidhi it is, Vaishnava Tantram it is, that's all. It's not from the Veda. That's the only thing to remember here. So this way, all of them has got its power due to Kalam, the changes are happening, and through Maya, we get this, what we call Vikalpam, happens to us, right? And His Chaitanya's presence is required for all these things to happen, and then they glorified in this way. So, and those who have taken shelter. So all these things what we spoke about, they all have their personal forms. And those personal forms got together and they are offering these prayers, verse 39 onwards. It's their prayers, what is spoken there. And they are saying there, when realizing the self, you get free from the distress of samsara, material existence, right? And through, they are also saying the same thing, by surrendering and developing bhakti, firm bhakti in the Lord Krishna's lotus feet, they will develop the knowledge, and through that knowledge, they become free from the distress. Dhadharya, you can see that spoken in the 40th verse. Dhadharya dasmin bhavamisha jivaha tavatraye novahada na sharma altman lebhande bhagavam stavankri chayam savidyamadam ashrayema. That he's saying that the samsaram distress will only go away when they surrender to you, right? So then the question comes, we don't know that. And how do we perform upasana? How do you do sadhana for something what you don't know? And that is what he's saying in the next verse. Margandiyate mukavalpanidai chandasuparne rishayo vivite yasyakamarshoda saridvaraya padam padam tirthavada prapannaha. He says that that how do we perform upasana for something we do not know? We don't know anything about all these things. And that you are saying, demigods are saying, they are called Deva Uchu. So we say like that. Devadas means predominating deities of all these different elements, senses and subtle body, mind, intelligence, ego, and similarly ahantatvam, mahatatvam, senses, all of them together. That, so we inquire and through Vedam we get to know, he's saying. Through Vedam we, that is why. Chandasu parnai rushayo vivikte. Through Chandasa. Chandasa means Vedam. Vedam, Vedic hymns, referring to that, right? So, it is spoken in a way here, to understand it, that Vedam is considered to be like the birds. They have built their cage on Krishna's face. That's where they built the cage, right? What does this mean? It means that in Vedam, remember what I mentioned before? The deities what is spoken in the Vedam is Indra, Agni, Varuna, Chandra, Soma, all these, Surya, all these things, right? So, those devadas, right, they live on your face, who have built the cage in front of you. You remember Vedam is Krishna's breathing. Krishna's breathing. Paramatma breathing is Vedam. So Vedam, the rishis are saying, is nothing but Krishna's life air inside. That is how close Vedam is with Krishna. Krishna and Vedam you can't separate. Vedam is Krishna. You will see mentioned in the Bhagavatam in different places. Yeah? Veda pranihido dharmam. Atharmastu vibhariya. Vedam Narayanam Sakshal. Sakshal Narayanan is Vedam. And it is on that concept the other words in the first canto, second chapter also. Vadandida tattva vidam. Tattva jnanam, advaya jnanam. Vedam is jnanam. And that jnanam, advaya jnanam, is addressed as Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanidi Shabdade, it says. So, what he is saying is, this Veda mantram, if you are able to understand the meaning of that, what is called Arthavijaram. Arthavijaram means, how to understand Vedam, Veda mantram. And for that, there are people who have studied that to a very higher level, isn't it? So, they know how to understand Vedam, what Vedam is talking about. Very few people though who will understand that, right? So, through Arthavijaram, those who have studied Vedam, they have understood your Swarupam from Vedam. What is your identity? Krishna's identity from the Vedam. And then they follow the sadhana, what is spoken in the Vedam, they follow that. And compared to that, they're saying that the birds, wherever they go during the day, in the night time when the night comes, they'll come back to their cage. They'll fly back. They know how to do that, right? Similarly, this Vedam is such a thing. It will take you through different paths to different places. But ultimately, you will come back to the same Chaitanyam, Paramatma Chaitanyam inside us. That is why several rishis have given several processes for us. Patanjali gave us Yoga Sutram, Kabila Maharshi gave us Sankhyam, Jaimini gave us Karmakandam, Mimamsa philosophy, Vedavyasa Maharshi gave us Vedandam. In this way, different rishis came at different times and gave different processes from the same Vedam. Vedam is the mother of everything. Vedam is the authority. And as long as it is based on the Vedam, it's acceptable. But anything outside concocted by the mind is not acceptable. It has to be based on the Vedam, and you should be able to explain on the authority of the Vedam whatever Siddhantam you are bringing up. Otherwise it is not, right? So, all Veda Mantram in Pratyaksham, in the first instance, you may see one is different from the other. One rishi is saying one thing, another rishi is saying something different. You may see the differences. But ultimately, everything ends up in one thing, self-realization. All Veda Mantram, and they are all talking about that one tattvam, which is binding this whole thing together. Satya, Chitta, Anandam, Paramatma, Chaitanyam. That's the one he's talking about. So, if you take shelter of Vedam, it is possible to realize the truth. Realize the truth. So, in Vedam, what is it spoken? Krishna's Swarupam, Krishna's Vibhuti, opulences, and the process, what is required, is all discussed in the Vedam. Vedam discusses all these things. And that is spoken in the form of Karmakandam, Upasanakandam, in this way. Karmakandam, Upasanakandam. Now, Karmakandam, Upasanakandam, Jnanakandam. There are three cantos in the Vedam, right? So, what will happen is, if you follow this Karmakandam and Upasanakandam, you have studied it. Life is very short. Knowledge is so big. Yeah, we don't have time for everything. We are such busy people in this world that we can spare maximum an hour or so in a life, in a week. That's how much I have time got for you, Prabhu, they will say. So this is how our situation. And this Vedic knowledge, even if you study 24/7 whole life, you won't still understand fully everything. But Karmakandam will tell you a lot of things. And similarly, Upasanakandam, which is the bhakti side of it, right? And by following all that, sometimes you may get distracted and go in different directions. Ultimately, it will all end up in Upanishad. It will all end up in Upanishad. And there is a way of doing it, and it will happen automatically, that. So that's what he's saying here. Through Karma Gandam, Upasana Gandam, you come to the Jnana Gandam at the end. So Vedam's message is all in the Upanishads. Message is all in the Upanishads. The message of Vedam, what ultimate goal is. And this is what has caused the main debate between Acharya Swamiji and Mandana Mishra. Mandana Mishra was a very strong, who became Suresh Acharya later, the first pontiff in Sringeri Matham. So what happened was that he was a very strong advocate of Karmakandam, because he studied the Jaimini Sutram, everything. Jaimini Sutram, which is called Karma Sutram. Like we say Vedanta Sutram or Brahma Sutram as the Jnana Sutram. Similarly, they call as the Karmakandam. And majority of the Vedam is Karmakandam. And that Karmakandam, he has mastered it, who? Mandana Mishra. And he strictly followed that, very rigidly followed that. And that is when this discussion happened between Acharya and him. And he established that, and agreement was that whoever, Saraswati Devi was the judge and monitor or whatever we call that. And then she said, she put a garland on his neck, their necks, and told them, whosoever garland gets first dries up the flowers, they have lost it, said. So this debate continued for days and days together between Jnana Gandam and Karma Gandam. And finally Karma Gandam lost. Karma Gandam lost in the sense, it's not that the goal of life is not karma, the goal of life is jnanam. Jnanam is superior to karma. That was established. That was the idea behind that. So Jnana Gandam, Karma Gandam has always problems. Jnana Gandam, most of the people in this world are attracted to Karma Gandam, isn't it? That's why you can see any time whenever there is a spiritual function, most of the people will run for the karmam side of it. They feel that if I do some abhishek or if I do something to do with the physical activity involved, they feel great satisfaction from that. Because of these karmakandam tendencies inside, that's the nature of karmakandam. It drags people into it very easily. So therefore, he mentions here that the Upanishads are the ultimate conclusion of everything. And similarly, just like he says here that if you, Ganga River has come from Krishna's lotus feet. So if you keep on going, walking along Ganga River, finally you are supposed to reach the source where it came from. That is Krishna's lotus feet, right? So so through Ganga, you can get to reach Krishna, provided you walk along the Ganga's source, to the source, right? So in the same way, if you contact those devotees who are living in the river bank, Ganga river bank, and take their shelter, through them you will get to know about Krishna Tattvam, Bhagavat Tattvam, and the methods or process by which you can get back to him, and also through the instructions of the Guru. So Guru instructs Upasana Margam through Bhakti processes, right? Bhakti Margam. That is also possible. Or Vijara Margam. That means the process of intelligence. Upanishad Margam, Artha Vijaram, or Jnana Margam, you can get there. So either through Vijara Margam, analyzing Upanishads. When you say analyzing Upanishads means not it includes so many things. Not only Upanishads, it includes Vedanta Sutram. That means Upanishads have summarized by Vedavyas in his own way, wrote his commentary. And that is this Brahma Sutram, called Vedanta Sutram. You have to study that as well. And then more than anything else, Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a part of that. So that is how Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, Upanishads. Acharya Swamiji pulled them all together and said, this is the message of Jnana Gandam. And that is why Prasthanatrayam it's called. These three things, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, and Bhagavad Gita. Those three things. We are thinking that we could study it and understand it. Never. It is not possible. Because if you take Bhagavad Gita, you know what Acharya Swamiji said in the beginning itself about Bhagavad Gita? He said, సమస్త వేదార్థ సార సంగ్రహభూతం దుర్విజ్ఞేయార్థం. హీ సేస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఈజీ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ భగవద్గీత. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్. It's a simple fact. And that you will understand that it is not easy to understand as you go further into Bhagavad Gita. So many things spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is beyond us. Because a lot of things, what Krishna is saying there, is beyond this world. You see, what we know is only this world. This world and the activities of this world. This is in our head, isn't it? Krishna is talking about so many things in the Bhagavad Gita, which is more or less from the Upanishads it has come, and Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Bhagavad Gita very well knowing that it will be very difficult to digest. Yeah. So you may say anything about Bhagavad Gita, it is so simple, I can tell you this verse, that verse and all that. But the deep-rooted meaning of understanding of Bhagavad Gita, Acharya Swamiji is saying this, whose Bhagavad Gita commentary was the most popular, he is saying this, durvijnyayartham. He says, it's not possible to understand Bhagavad Gita, he said. Durvijnyayartham. This is the exact word he has used in the introduction itself. Samasta Veda Artha Sara Sangraha Bhudham. Means, if you combine all the verses, all the Vedam, and if you take the message, artham of that, the message of that, and you make it the essence of that, if you put that into, in a format, and that's Bhagavad Gita, he is saying. And remember, Krishna has only started speaking in the second chapter. So personalities like Krishna, Acharya and all that, they know what they are talking about. We don't understand it. We have no access to it. And we are battling with this verse and that verse. Sometimes we say this is saying something else. But a lot of things in the Bhagavad Gita is beyond our comprehension. That's what I was saying. If you want to really understand Bhagavad Gita, you need to know Brahma Sutram as well, and you need to study Upanishads also. Only then you can, as you go along, and as you spend more and more, invest your time, you will start realizing, this is not the subject what I thought it is. It's beyond me. You will give up at the end. So that's the way it is. That's the way it is. There's nothing you can do about that. So that's what he's saying here. So, either through Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, you can follow the Jnana Margam, or take the shelter of Bhakti process, Srimad Bhagavatam, and also through the process of holy name and worship, deity worship, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Katha, Suti, Upadesham. In that way, also you can get back to Krishna. So that is why it is. Then you can see that 42nd verse. Yes, Shraddhaya, that is a message spoken in the 42nd. This is what is spoken in the 42nd verse. He is saying, Yes, Shraddhaya, Shubhavatya, Chabhaktya, Samrajyamane, Hdaye, Vathaya, Jnanena, Vairagya, Belena, Dhiraha, Vrajemadatya, Angri, Saroja, Peetham. Then, Upanishad Mandram, Mandrams in the Upanishad, after taking their shelter, right? And in a pure heart, people who have got purified themselves, through Upanishads they realize the truth. Similarly, some others, they take shelter of great devotees, and through them they cultivate bhakti, and then they realize the truth. Right? Through salsangam. And this is an easier process compared to the other one. So, Jnana Margam is all taking shelter of the literature, like Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita. And through them, realizing Vichara Margam. Vichara Margam means able to go deeper, deeper, deeper into it. And inquiring and having a right person to guide you through in that process to get to the goal. And there are so many other conditions spoken there. One has to have that proper vairagyam inside. Mind does not go into vikalpam, does not happen. Things like that. So that is the Jnana Margam. Bhakti Margam is taking shelter of Krishna through Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, particularly through Bhagavadam, and also through the great devotees who have understood Krishna, advanced in their relationship with Krishna. Right? So, and so these two ways, Jnana Margam, Bhakti Margam, both are practical and possible. Right? So, those who have going through satsangam process. That is for the devotee, satsangam process, right? So, through satsangam, they try to understand Krishna. So, but if mind is attracted to sense enjoyment, then how can you inquire anything properly, right? So, with a lot of attention, Shraddha, continuously hearing about Krishna, and through that, bhakti develops, heart gets purified, get rid of all the sense enjoyment, and firm detachment and renunciation develops, and through that, when everything is established, with that bhakti and vairagyam, the knowledge also will come to that person. And the same thing what was spoken before. So, the important answer is, hear Bhagavadam. Get Bhagavadam inside and let it go sink in deeply. The more it sinks in, the more we will get free from the world outside. There is no other way doing that. So when bhakti develops and with that the attraction for the world goes away, vairagyam comes in, and then he says here that this bhakti and virakti, again Vidura is saying this, the same thing that the yes, as he mentioned here that vishwasya janmasthiti samyamarthe kridavadarasya padambujande vrajema sarve sharanam yadisha smritam prayachathyabhayam so pumsam, right? So, with that, ultimate, what is it all talking about? To realize that there is identification with the body for us at the moment. And we have a different identity inside as Krishna's expansion, or whichever way you call that, Krishna's part, and the Antaryami inside. I am not able to realize it. I am thinking I am this body. This ignorance has to leave me. And I have to feel that my actual identity is that. And that has to happen. So, not to waste time in that way. And therefore, the answer is again, keep repeated. Vidura is saying there, hear Bhagavadam, right? And hearing through pastimes of Krishna, through creation, maintenance, dissolution, through that, and through all the different incarnations. These are the three tools. Different incarnations. Creation, maintenance and dissolution, and different pastimes. Through all these three things, what we require is to develop attachment to Krishna through bhakti, right? So, so when we become serious about these three things, Krishna himself feels the need to show some mercy to the devotee, right? And gradually he will become that this person is serious about me. Krishna feels that way. He is interested in all my incarnations. He wants to understand them. He is interested in creation, maintenance and dissolution. And he is also interested in the incarnations. If it is like that, I also have to reveal to him something about me. And that is when the devotee gets that understanding of Krishna. Right? So, with that the attraction will go for the world. And he says here that when you are enjoying a good feast, if you are given something not that attractive to eat, you won't be attracted by that, right? Similarly, in the power of bhakti, that when the mind gets absorbed in that, the silly happiness of this world will not be any attraction for you, right? And everything will go, vishayasakti, that means attraction for sense enjoyment will leave us. And in that way, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, all the three things will come, and that will be the experience of Krishna. When these three things happen, that is Krishna's experience, and we'll become satisfied. So, I'll stop there today. I'll continue next Thursday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.